Cultures that had thrived on the Great Plains and Pacific Coast for thousands of years and despite everything are still here today. The Indians Lewis and Clark met could have ended their expedition many times, but saved it instead. Many times, with their food, horses, and compassion. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. Because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
To match your pretty eyes.
Nope. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more.
Who taught you that?
Mommy.
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science, which they'll need for most future jobs. Keep her interest alive. For ideas, go to girlsgotech.org. It's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
The environment we've created for ourselves has given pests the opportunity to create serious public health issues. Mosquitoes may transmit West Nile virus.
Cockroaches can trigger asthma.
Insect stings force 500,000 people to the emergency room
every year.
And rodents could spread hantavirus.
But we can make it harder for these pests to survive.
To learn how, visit pestworld.org.
It's up to all of us, you know.
Fear itself. And so, my fellow
Americans,
ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hey, we're here, and it's a pleasure to be here this afternoon. Yes, indeed, you are listening to the Guy James Show, number one Democratic liberal talk show in America, and we're doggone glad to be with you this afternoon, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of gorgeous Fort Myers, Florida, Naples area. And how are you doing this afternoon? Hope you're feeling as good as I am, because I'm ready to rock and roll on this show. A lot happening this week, as always. Do you ever have that feeling you forgot something, but you don't know what? For the last half hour, I felt like that. I hope I've got everything I need. Let's see. I got a pen. I got my glasses, and I got a couple of papers. I guess that's about all we need. Hey, we're going to have a good show for you today. We're going to have Bill Press from Buchanan and Press fame, or maybe Bill would like me to say Press and Buchanan fame, and he's always a great guest. We've never had him on the show before, and I look forward to that. Going to have him on just a little later. Going to have a nice little gal on a little later by the name of Julia Rose that's come out with a really cool song for John Kerry. And once again, I do want to let everybody know that I've been inundated lately with books and CDs and so forth, and I'm going to get to all of them. I will get to all of them. Just bear with me. many good books. My goodness, I've got several right now I'm reading right now. And hey, you will like this Bill Press book. It's called Bush Must Go. And hey, can't get any more simple than that. And it's a really good book. I know you're going to like it. So we'll talk to Bill a little bit about that a little later. Of course, what's in the news this week? What's been in the news the last couple of days? Could it be something to do with this smear campaign? My God. These guys ever quit? You know, this past week I've heard the right-wingers on radio and TV going on and on and on about how the Democrats are nothing but a party of hate, but they usually said this a few minutes after reporting that John Kerry didn't really earn his medals in Vietnam. I always love that when they put the two together, you know. His wounds were self-inflicted. The guys who vouched for him are liars. If he was so brave, why didn't he stay longer in Vietnam? He was doing it because he was planning to run for office someday, yada, 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 yada. I don't know about you, but man, this new Swift Boat Veterans Against Kerry group really takes the cake. If they aren't a real piece of work, they'd all have you believe that they served with Kerry right off, and many of you know that just isn't the case. But, oh, you'd think so, and a lot of our stupid listeners will think so after hearing that ad. They come, well, he was there with Kerry. They served with Kerry in Vietnam. Yeah, along with, another 500,000 other guys served in Vietnam, but not with Kerry. That's the one you always want to look for on that. Served with him. All those guys lining up on the right-wing side against Kerry, they're saying they actually served with him. Well, the truth is maybe all of them served with Kerry in Vietnam, but not a single one, this is important, not a single one of those naysayers actually served with Kerry side-by-side on his boat. That's right, not a single one of them. Some were there before, some were after, and this, I don't have words I can say over the radio about him. This O'Neill, the leader of this pathetic bunch of lying bastards. Mr. O'Neill is the guy hired by Richard Nixon, if you'll remember, to disparage Kerry way back 30-some years ago. That ought to tell you something. That's right. He actually worked for Richard Nixon. And, even one of Nixon's Watergate co-conspirators, you remember Chuck Colson, of course, a lot of people my age do, he couldn't even find any dirt on Kerry. And, oh, he was trying. I saw that tape this week, and it's the first time I'd ever seen it. Nixon asked him if he said, no, sir, he's clean. You can't get anything on him. Colson investigated Kerry, well, back then with all the power of the White House behind him, and he couldn't find anything negative on Kerry. How come you aren't hearing Colson saying anything about that right now? Because all those guys knocking Kerry's war record are nothing but, they're nothing more than a bunch of no good lying right wing bastards, and that's being extremely kind to them, in my opinion. But I'm sure some of you know they even hired the same ad agency that they hired to smear John McCain in the Republican South Carolina primary back in 2000. What does that say for them? You know, if there's anything I hate, it's a liar, and these guys are lying through their teeth. I mean, it's shameful, and they're disparaging the service of every American man or woman who ever earned a Purple Heart or a medal. You know, they're wanting to make them meaningless so they can somehow negate the fact that Georgie Boy was home with Mama during Vietnam, along with most of us. And they're doing nothing more than covering up for the fact that not a single member of the Alabama National Guards come forth and been able to prove George W. Bush was where he said he was during that time, where he was supposed to be in Alabama. He's ducked this story for more than a dozen years, and nobody has been able to prove he was in Alabama like he says he was. You know, there's that little matter of a $10,000 reward for anybody who can prove they saw George Bush at the Alabama National Guard. You know, it's a funny thing. That money hasn't been claimed, and you and I know it won't be claimed. I really didn't care about all this AWOL stuff up until the time these right-wing Republican thugs decided to smear mud on John Kerry's honorable service in the military. You know, Karl Rove and his dirty political crew, political tricks crew. They'll stop at nothing. I mean, nothing. If they're willing to throw mud at Kerry's honorable military service, tell me, where will they stop? Is there anything they won't do to hang on to the White House? Underline anything. You know, I heard another talk show host here locally this week, and it disturbed me. He made the statement that the stories about Kerry's medals and Bush as being a no-show canceled each other out. You got to be kidding. You know, on the one hand, we've got a guy who won 5 medals and volunteered for duty in Vietnam. Not only that, but he volunteered for one of the most dangerous duty assignments you could possibly get on those swift boats. Okay, so you don't believe he was wounded bad enough for Purple Hearts? Forget the Purple Hearts. How about the Bronze Star and the Silver Star? Were those handed out in error, too? Was there some conspiracy by John Kerry and the Democrats back in 1969 to make sure he got a Bronze Star and a Silver Star just so he could run for the presidency in 2004? That's how stupid this sounds. How about the guy whose life Kerry saved? Have you heard from him? I have. How about the minister that spoke so eloquently about Kerry at the Democratic Convention? Is he a liar, too? How about John McCain, one of their own, saying that Kerry doesn't deserve to be treated this way? Is John McCain a liar as well? And on the other hand, we had a guy who, for at least a dozen years now, a man with more power than any other man on earth, and he can't produce his military records that might prove whether or not he actually did his time in the Alabama National Guard. He doesn't have anybody saying that he saved their life. He doesn't have a minister who served with him saying he's a man of strength and decisiveness and heroism. No, he doesn't have a single soul that can prove he even showed up for duty. And his and Kerry's records are supposed to cancel each other out when donkeys fly. Give me a break on that one, will you? You know, if I were affiliated with this Bush White House, I would be so ashamed, terribly ashamed of what they're doing to this good and decent man, John Kerry. You know, everybody involved in this despicable smear campaign should hang their heads in shame. Even Joe McCarthy had more ethics and moral than these people. And I really believe if Joe McCarthy were alive today, he'd look at these guys and say, have you no shame? At long last, have you no shame? Because it is shameful. This is one of the sorriest episodes in political dirty tricks that I can ever remember in my lifetime. They've got nothing to run on, so they're going to try and disparage one of the strengths of John Kerry, and it's absolutely shameful. And between you and me, I think it's going to backfire. I think it's going to backfire big time. It's going to make these people look like the desperados they really are. And make no mistake about it, they are more than desperate right now. Much more than desperate right now, because it's looking bad for them. Don't know what I did. I had a sheet here. Oh, yeah, here it is. Latest Zogby approval poll. Bush has gone down, down, down. He's down to 44% approval. His negatives are up to 56%. I think maybe he got down to 43% once, but now he's back down to 44. I tell you, that's not good news for an incumbent president, and that just gives you some idea of what this guy's record really is. Wake up, people! If you're one of those folks that's still planning to vote for this bozo, you better take a look at his record. Forget all the rhetoric you hear on TV. Forget all the political ads. Go take a look at what the man has accomplished. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, check it out. You know, there's an awful lot happening right now on this Republican-funded group that attacked Kerry's war record. A lot of people, see, they didn't want all this to come out. They put this ad out, and they don't want to say anything about it, where the money came from, or, you know, they lied that they said they served with Kerry, and they really didn't. And there's a lot of reasons to doubt this ad. You know, for one thing, one of the guys who appears in it, this George Eliot, told the Boston Globe, and I quote, "I made a terrible mistake by accusing Kerry of not deserving one of his awards." Eliot appears in the ad saying John Kerry has not been honest about what happened in Vietnam. You know, another reason to doubt these guys, where did the money come from for this? Well, it came mainly from a Houston home builder by the name of Bob R. Perry, who has given, and you know, you remember the White House and everybody's trying to spin this that, oh no, these guys are on their own. They're not affiliated with the Republican Party. Oh no. Oh no. No, 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 no. We would never do that. Well, Bob Perry's given millions of dollars to the Republican Party and Republican candidates, mostly in Texas. But he's also given money in Arizona and New Mexico, including Bush and the Republican Majority Leader Tom DeLay. He gave $100,000 of the $158,000 received by the Swift Boat Group. You know, Perry and his wife, Doyleen, gave more than $3 million to Texas Republicans during the 2002 election. But, oh, no, these guys aren't biased. They're not political. They wouldn't happen just to be some group that politically is biased against Kerry. They're just coming out and saying this because they're nice guys, and they want the truth to come out. Yes, the truth. That's what they're interested in. And now this Elliot says it was a mistake to sign the affidavit that he signed about the book. And, you know, the sick thing about Elliot is it was Elliot who recommended Kerry for the Silver Star and the Bronze Star. Yeah. You know, despite recanting his affidavit regarding the Silver Star, Elliot told the Globe he's come to believe Kerry didn't deserve the second award based on what other anti-Kerry veterans have told him. Elliot said, and I quote, "I have chosen to believe the other men. I absolutely do not know firsthand." Boy, does that sound like a guy confident of what's happening, right? Really confident, right? And, of course, the lie... Hey, you remember we had Del Sandusky on this show not long ago, one of Kerry's own crewmen. And, you know, this Jim Rassman, we're going to talk more about him. He's a sheriff from out in California, a lifelong Republican whose life Kerry saved. And you've got these lowlifes, and I mean lowlifes, on the other side trying to disparage this good and decent man. I tell you, it's sick. It really is sick. Going to go to the phones. We've got Diane in Fort Myers. Diane, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, guys. I have been so appalled this week on that Neil Bortz and Jerry Doyle. These people are absolutely insane people. And what they're doing on our airwaves is beyond me. I don't see how they keep from being sued. I've heard Neil Bortz call Ted Kennedy a murderer because of Chappaquiddick. So you call him up and say, "You mean like Laura Bush?" And he hangs up on you and won't let you on the air to even get it out. I mean, you know, I don't know where their thinking's coming from. I mean, why don't they ride on Bush's record? Why don't they look at Harkin Oil right on Iraq Gate, you know, when Daddy went to war?
Diane, they cannot go near his record.
Why don't they go to Prescott Bush's Union Bank and backing Adolf Hitler? I mean, that's a proven fact. This is history. It's factual. It can be backed up with documentation. And what about Barry Seals? I think his wife, the belated Barry Seals, his wife needs to come forward and tell how her husband was murdered because he had a videotape of George and Jeb doing certain things that he got bumped off. Barry Seals. I mean, this is actual history. It's factual. It's got documentation behind it. These guys have been crooks for years and years and years. And right now, then they're pointing out, you know, the thing that's bothering me is what's going on up in New York and that now with the banking systems and Wall Street. Could this not be a good and easy way for the Bushes and how they think and how they've done business in the past, just to have a perfect plot of how to cover up white collar crime with insider trading and bank robberies still going on like Silverado did?
Well, you know, the Bush people, I don't know. I don't trust them as far as I can
say. He's a leader when John Kerry isn't. Excuse me.
I love it when they try and call him a leader.
The day 9/11 happened, why in the world did he not immediately seal up our borders and contend with our shipping lines then? You know why? Because I think it's all a fraud brought in by him.
Well,
I think that they're doing it. It's corrupt. I think that they are organized crime in such a big way. I think America needs to really think. Just think about it and start connecting dots.
Well, it's beginning to appear. Thanks for your call, Diane.
Uh-huh.
It's beginning to appear that there's a certain percentage of people that, well, like I've said before, if they saw Bush caught him red-handed walking out of a bank with the money in his satchel and a gun in his hand, they wouldn't believe he did it. I mean, there's just a certain number of people that will not listen to reason about this guy, and I don't understand it. I think it's got something to do with not wanting to be a loser, backing a loser. I mean, that's got something to do with it. And, of course, some people just don't want to believe that their little guy they voted for would be such a crook. But who knows? Going to go to Ben in Illinois. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hey there, guy. You know, the Swift Boat Liars have caused me to rethink a few things. And one of them is, I don't think that we ought to hold back from saying that George Bush was dishonorably discharged. There is absolutely no proof that he received an honorable discharge, and there is at least one document that references, by number, a dishonorable discharge in the man's name. And I think we have every bit as much justification for saying that as they have for besmirching John Kerry's record.
Well, I've been one all along, and I say take the offense. And I was very upset with the Gore campaign back in 2000 when they just kind of played defense all along and let these guys run over them. And I just don't want to see that happen again. If you have to fight fire with fire, you should do it. And I certainly recommend to the Kerry campaign that they do fight fire with fire, because there's going to be a lot of fire coming at them.
Well, if Kerry can't say it, I think we can. I say to you, George Bush was dishonorably discharged, and they had better be able to prove that he wasn't.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't know if he was dishonorably discharged or not. How would I know? I mean, we don't have any records to know, and here we have the most powerful man on the planet not able to produce those records. I mean, let's see him, George.
If he had them, if he was able to prove that he was honorably discharged, he would have done so already, and there's only one reason, and you and I both know what it is, that he can't prove it.
Well, and Kerry's got a whole boatload of guys that served with him and knew where he was at, where he was, when they were there, and so forth. How many has Bush got? None. I mean, that's so strange to me.
You know, the other thing is, if you examine his pilot record, you realize the man never soloed. All, 100% of his combat flying time, quote-unquote, you know, in F-102 Delta Darts, was in the dual seat trainer. They never let the guy go up without an instructor.
I didn't know that.
Never soloed.
I didn't know that, but I'll tell you this much. If I lived on the ground under, I wouldn't want him flying a plane over my house.
Me either.
I know he ended up, he got the 25% on the test score, which is the lowest score you could possibly get, and still go into pilot school. That's comforting, isn't it?
And they modified that form. That form had the original score blacked out, 25% written in with someone's initials put.
You're right. I did see a copy of that. You're absolutely right. Who knows what happened with those records? We'll never find out. I think they've been hiding them now for how many years? 15 years or so. And we're never going to get to see them, I don't think. Hey, Ben, thanks for your call.
You take care.
Do appreciate it. Let's see. Who's up here next? We got Charles over in Sanibel Island, Florida. Charles, welcome to the program.
Yes, guys. Good talking to you. The reason why Bush couldn't fly solo, no one would insure him. So,
I wouldn't.
They didn't have the confidence. And I am so fired up, and it's just not the bashing Kerry's war record that's doing it. When you really look at the big picture, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, the corporations have wrestled the quality of life from us as citizens of this country. Do you feel the same way?
Oh, absolutely. And we wanted to have a guest on today. He couldn't make it today, but we're going to have a gentleman that I know. I've known all of my life. Mm-hmm. And he lives up in Middle America. And he's going to have a story to tell us about corporate America next week and what they've done to him and the people that he works with. And it's going to stand your hair on end, and we're going to have him on next week to tell what's happening to the jobs and how corporate America is right now just raping the employees. It's terrible.
Well, we certainly talked about it last week, where people have to work two and three jobs to make a living, when the breadwinner, as early as 30 years ago, used to be able to raise a family of six, good health insurance for them, the mother stayed at home and worked. Where has our quality of life gone? Can people just please get a perspective on this, that just because we have 170 cable channels, that doesn't dictate a quality of life to me.
No.
People have become so complacent over the years. It's time to get fired up. It's time to turn this thing around, because, frankly, we do not have to work like this. We do not have to work without vacations, without job security. It's wrong. It's wrong what they've done to us. For instance, one of the biggest employers across this country, Walmart, you cannot make a living working at Walmart. How ridiculous is that? That doesn't make any sense. Most people in their 20s today, they're going to die in debt. Every two or three days, you get another credit card offer in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
What are these people doing? They're going out to eat. McDonald's is taking credit cards. Is quality of life going to McDonald's, eating their food, and going home and watching inane cable programs? I don't think so. And,
right.
And I'm going to make a personal change.
Well, and plus the fact that we're all around $25,000 for every man, woman, and child in debt with the national debt right now.
The more you find out, the scarier it is. I happen to be have a problem with MSG, and I just happened to be reading a soup label the other day, and Campbell's soup has MSG in it.
Didn't know that.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, I've been eating this stuff since I was 5 years old. I'm sure I developed the allergy over the years. I've never noticed it until recently. But, you know, it's everything that you notice, there's somebody behind this stuff, and when Diane rails about this stuff, you can't call her a nut job. You can't, you know, there's a lot of people that shake their heads, but what she says is very true, and we've got to turn it around somehow. Voting for Kerry, campaigning for Kerry, getting people that aren't registered in some lower impoverished areas, perhaps. People that have been as fortunate as I can't even identify with them anymore. I'm not sure I could campaign in areas like that because I probably get too upset.
Well, my good friend and I were talking this morning. You know, one thing we're going to have to be on the lookout for. You know, Charles, I fully believe we will win this presidential election. But the danger, the real danger is there that after we win it, that we'll just do like Democrats normally do and say, okay, we won that, let's relax and, you know, let's wait till 4 years are up and we'll, you know, do it for president again. We're going to have to then go directly to work the day after November 2nd, go to work on trying to win the House and the Senate back.
Okay.
So, hey, Charles, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Let's take one more call before we go to a break. And by the way, you can call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. And locally here, 479-5540. I forgot to do that earlier. But some of you knew the number anyway. Let's go to John in Cape Coral. John, welcome to the show.
I've been listening to you and been listening to talk radio and TV all week, and I think watching this ad and watching what's going on, I see one danger. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think by what they're doing, and it's a very, I think, clever game, they're setting the agenda.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're not discussing Bush and the fact, as an earlier caller said, the fact that his military record or lack of one is pretty spotty, and the fact that he possibly was able and his credentials of the National Guard are not there. We're discussing is Kerry, you know, telling the truth. And, you know, going back to the Clinton years, they would not let Clinton get his agenda forward. I mean, they said the whole issue of Monica, the whole impeachment exercise was there to prevent the Democrats, or as they in quotes call it, the liberals, from getting to the agenda that people out there wanted. And I think these people are very good at this.
It's the old shell game. You're absolutely right, John. Keep, you know, don't take your eye off the ball there. Look over here. That's what they're doing.
I think people have to be aware of this. I mean, game after game, you turn into talk show after talk show. All they're doing is slamming the Democrats for the so-called liberal agenda. I mean, you get people like Rush Limbaugh, and everybody's saying, look at what we're talking about. Don't look about what we're doing. Don't look at who we are. Rush Limbaugh, who is holier than thou, has the wonderful game of family values, and then turns out to be a drug addict.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, what better example? There's no better example than Rush the OxyContin boy.
And Newt Gingrich.
Oh, him too. You're right.
They're setting the agenda. And unfortunately, all of us, and I must be honest, even you, are dancing to that agenda.
Well, we do to a certain extent. We do.
And I think that one of the things, and I think Kerry tried to do this at the convention, was to say, hey, maybe we're at above it all. Let's look at what we want for America. And I think that maybe one of the things is, and I don't know how you do this, because this is a game of, you know, smoke and mirrors in some ways, because they don't want you to look and see where America should be going. They want you to look and see how bad these people are and play this game and look at everything but the reality of where this country should be at.
Well, no, John, you're absolutely right. And let's just use a couple of examples here. War? What war? We've been talking about the Swift boats the past few days and all. There's been several American deaths over in Vietnam, in Iraq and Afghanistan. What war? You know,
we're moving to 1,000 people, Americans dead. Is anybody paying attention that every day the troop count is going up?
Not at all. Not at all.
I mean, we're getting peace over there, except, I mean, today was as good an example. I just for a few minutes turned in CNN, and the fellow's talking. As he's talking live, you could hear the mortar rounds in the background. This is a peaceful country. This is what we're establishing.
Yeah, and then on the nightly news, you see a sound clip of how Bush has won two wars, and you know, it's two glorious victories, and gosh, haven't we done a good job over there? They're by no means over with. And you know, the other issue that we're letting them get away with, not talking about, is the economy. You know, there's not a lot of talk right now about the economy, and there better be, and we better take the bull by the horns on the economy and start running with that story, because it's not good.
Well, the fact that the market is now below 10,000, you don't hear much talk about
that. No, you didn't hear any major people talk about that this week. You didn't hear very much talk about the pathetic job report. You know, all they did was take the lowering of the unemployment figures by 0.1% and harp on what a good thing that was. Never mind the fact that many more people's unemployment ran out.
And then you have George Bush himself. I don't know how many clips I have seen this week, and you don't need Michael Moore for this, except that he did a good job. I know he's a liar because I've heard that on too many talk shows, but. Here it is. I mean, I watch channels like CNN, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, and they show clips of Bush talking, and he can't get a sentence out coherently. No. Or am I wrong on that?
No, you're right. I got a little clip I'm going to play after a while about Mr. Bush. My word.
I mean, one after the other. The man is not coherent. He cannot speak coherently unless he's reading a prepared script. And I do have a question, and maybe somebody can answer it. Is he really leading the country, or is he reading scripts, trying to parrot what people are saying? Is he really have the ability, as an individual, to really lead this country? Because sometimes this man is so incoherent in what he says that you have a feeling he really doesn't know what he's talking
John,
about.
John, let's just give a great example of what you're talking about right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the leader of the entire free world.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
The leader of the free world. I mean, if that isn't an idiot talking there, I don't, you know, and when you consider the fact that he probably rehearsed that a couple of times, how much more stupid can a guy sound than that right there?
Well, I just wonder, is he really the man calling the shots?
Well, I have to wonder, too.
You know, when you listen to Bill Clinton, you know you're listening to a brilliant man, whether you agree with him or not.
Sure.
You listen to John Kerry, this is, again, a very intelligent man. He knows what he's talking about. You may or may not agree. I listen to George W. Bush. I'm not sure if the man has a coherent thought in his head, or is he really just reading scripts that people like Cheney, maybe his father, or somebody else are preparing for him?
You know, and they always answer that question, well, do you think the man's actually intelligent? Well, he's got a master's. Well, no, that's not what I ask you. I ask you, do you think he's got any brains? There's a big difference. I know a lot of people that have graduated from school and have, you know, good degrees, but when it comes down to it, they don't have the sense they were born with. John, I got to move on. I thank you so very much for calling today.
I just raise these questions to you, Guy, and maybe somebody can come up with some answers.
All righty. Hey,
thank you again for the time.
Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. You are listening to The Guy James Show on 1200 WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back after these words.
The Guy James Show.
A Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interest. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neal. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neal, visit robertnealforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neal for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
I'm a singer and a voice coach. At 28, just as my star was rising, I got the shock of my life. I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a kind of cancer. I pictured my 2-year-old growing up, my husband Greg growing old, without me. Impossible. I decided to fight and win. I didn't know how hard it would be, how little things like doing laundry or singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to my daughter would become major efforts. My friends and family helped and supported me, and so did the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Thanks to the life-saving research they help fund, survival rates are up for multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and there is hope. After 2 years of treatment, including months of chemo, I'm cancer-free. In its own way, my cancer was a blessing. There's a new song in my heart. To help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Bren Jones, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
Hi, I'm Sam Waterston. More than 6 million Americans are losing their sight to blinding diseases such as macular degeneration and retinitis pigmentosa. But there is hope. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge to find treatments and cures for these devastating diseases. For free information on the latest treatments and research, or to find out how you can help, call the Foundation at 800-844-1174. That's 800-844-1174.
I watch you drink, and I fear for our future.
I hate you, and I feel ashamed.
I confront you, and I fear losing control.
I love you, and my heart aches with sadness.
I wish you'd just stop drinking.
We know what you feel because we've been there. We're Al-Anon and Alateen. Call 888-4-ALANON.
Back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
We're back, aren't we? Okay, we're back. Hey, we got the board all lit up with lots of calls. You can call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. Locally here, 479-5540 in Lee County and 263-6570 in Collier County. All right, and let's go to Tim in Naples. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm sitting here painting my nursery, and I usually listen to talk radio with some sensible words coming out. Usually Rush or Hannity or something like that, and I just have to laugh at your callers. Number one, let's go back to maybe three.
Wait a minute. You said you listened to people with sensible.
Yeah, that's why I've never heard your show before.
Limbaugh?
Yep.
The drug guy? Wait a minute. Is that Rush Limbaugh, the OxyContin fiend?
The hopeless
drug addict? That's the guy that's telling you the truth?
Can we stay on point?
No, I just want to ask you a question. You're talking about a guy who's a drug addict, and you're getting your common sense from him? Really?
When I'm listening to talk radio, that's pretty much all that comes on, because obviously, if you haven't noticed, people like you don't make it on the air.
Really?
That's
how long do you think we've been on now?
What was that?
When we first started this program, we had people tell us we wouldn't make it a month, and gosh, we have.
I know. You've seen him got a killer time slot on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, listen, Mr. Smartass, tell me something. Do you really get your information from the drug addict? Do you really get it from Sean Hannity? Do you really get it from Neil Bortz? Do you?
This is classic liberal deflection.
No, it isn't. No, you called and said, go ahead with your topic. You're the one that started out with the slam, buddy. Don't forget that. You're the one that started out with the disparagement.
Anyway,
go right ahead.
Anyway, back to the point. About three callers ago, you were talking with someone about how honorable John Kerry's service was. And
that's
what
exactly
a
right.
Guy he was. Okay, let me ask you a question. Is it honorable to burn villages and to shoot a 13-year-old boy?
If that's what you're ordered to do, you bet it is.
Okay, so that's honorable.
If that's what you're told to do, and it's within the Geneva Convention, and you have no proof that he did that.
Hey, he said he did. He sat before that the committee and said that he did. And
he didn't
second,
say he killed, he didn't say he killed a 13-year-old boy.
You're telling me he did not violate the Geneva Convention?
Pardon me?
You're telling me he did not violate the Geneva Convention?
He said he used a lot of hyperbole in those days.
Okay, so...
Now, you're not really going to call me. You're not really going to... Listen here. You're not going to call here and join these idiots on this Swift Boat thing and disparage this man honorable service. In other words, you don't believe the White House. Listen to me. Hey, you don't believe the White House either then. They said his service was honorable.
It's a matter of record.
You don't believe the White House. You don't believe George Bush said his service was honorable.
Is this how you conduct your show? You don't even.
It's absolutely how I conduct my show. We're going to have a two-way conversation, you see. You called up here and said his service wasn't honorable, and your own White House said it was. And John McCain said it was. You want to call the people in your own party liars? Use your head, man.
Okay. Back to three callers ago, you had someone call in, as we were talking about. You said he was both honorable and truthful. You just got finished telling me that if you're ordered to shoot a 13-year-old boy, that is honorable.
Hey, I'm not going to sit here and nitpick. I'm not going to sit here and nitpick that with you. I don't have to defend his record. His record is what it is, and it's a great record. You know, you people don't have anything to run on. You don't have a record to run on, so you got to disparage an honorable man. You don't have a record. You don't have one.
Is it honorable to shoot a 13-year-old boy?
It's honorable to do what you have to do in wartime.
Okay, and is that within the Geneva Convention guidelines?
Hey, I told you before, I'm not going to sit here and talk about the minutiae of this.
Okay, let's move on.
I'm not
going to
do it.
Let's move on to the next subject.
I'm asking you the question. You don't believe the Bush White House and John McCain when they said John Kerry's record was honorable? You don't believe it? Are they lying? Are they? Answer the question. Answer the question.
I called you with three
answer
questions.
The question.
Two-way conversation.
Answer the question. I ask you a question. You answer it. It's going to be bye-bye. Do you believe your White House and do you believe John McCain when they say that John Kerry's his record was honorable in Vietnam? Do you believe him or not?
No, I don't believe him.
All right. Goodbye. You're a dope. Absolutely a dope. See, that's what I mean. That's what I mean right there. We get a guy right there that has no interest in talking about the facts. None. He listens to a drug craze radio junkie. That's all you can say for him, Rush Limbaugh. I mean, it's self-admitted. That's nothing I dreamed up, and it is a fact. But a guy will come on and admit that he listened to him to get his information. How stupid are you to do that? Really, how stupid do you have to be to listen to guys like that? And let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
Good.
I would like to ask some of the Republican callers that are so confident, can you picture yourself going up to Max Cleland and looking at him with one limb left and look him in the eye and tell him he's not a patriot?
Hey.
You can do that.
They've been able to do it. They've
done it. He knows nothing about Republican values.
They've done it to Max Cleland.
Well, it's sickening. One thing that I've heard that's not true all week was that John Kerry was in Vietnam for 4.5 months when the Pentagon says he was there for two terms, one offshore for 6 months and one for 4.5 months in country. And the Democrats or the Republicans don't decide who was in country. The Pentagon does that, and that's where the record is. So 4.5 months is another lie that's going out there.
Well, Bill, there's just one thing on their mind here, just like that last caller. Got no interest whatsoever.
Well, I think part of the problem is this administration favors the top 25, the one America, and the bottom 75, they've got nothing to offer except to demonize and say that this is an evil man and don't vote for him because he's evil, and that's a pathetic way to run a campaign.
Well, we just heard this idiot caller we had a couple minutes ago saying he didn't believe his own White House. He didn't believe them when they said the service was honorable. So how do you deal with an idiot that doesn't, you know, he's on that side, but he doesn't even believe them either? I mean, that's you don't get any more stupid than that.
Well, I want the conservatives to keep calling, so you're going to win, guy, but don't beat them too bad.
I won't. Hey, Bill. Yeah.
Before I forget it, thank you for having Bill Press on, because I'm a big fan of his, and I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, good. Yeah, Bill's a good one. He's a gentleman and knowledgeable, got great wit about him, and we're looking forward to having him on the show today.
Another thing, you're a little bit, don't forget about Oliver North, because he, at least, he's not like most of the big-mouth Republicans. At least he did serve in Vietnam, and I thank him for that. But he's right out there trying to demonize John Kerry, saying that John Kerry and Oliver North is going out there under the radar screen to different religious groups and programs, right wing, and telling them that his demonstrations caused the war to last longer, more of our people got killed, and that there is a presentation in North Vietnam with John Kerry's picture there with Jane Fonda. And that is Oliver North's contribution to Republican values.
Well, and we might also like to add on to this whole thing that everybody knows Colonel David Hackworth.
Yes.
He's as conservative as a man can get. And he told these vets against Kerry this week what a bunch of rats they really are.
You said it right earlier, and I won't repeat what you said.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
And the worst atrocious thing was the dirty lie that John Kerry had self-inflicted wounds. Everybody knows what a self-inflicted wound is. The VFW knows what it is. The veterans know what it is. And just, if the military writes up, if you shoot a gun at the enemy and it comes back and hits you, yes, technically it's self-inflicted, but it is a worse kind of distortion to accuse him of a cowardice move like that.
Yeah. Well, it's a sorry, sorry statement.
And one last thing, yeah. Guy. You were shocked as I was when our local host said that John Kerry's record neutralizes George Bush's record. They just cancel each other out. Give me a break.
Yeah, I that one blew me away. It really
did. The people with no ethics, like Neil Bortz and Rush Limbaugh, were willing to tell the dirty lie about that self-inflicted wound. But the people that hand out the talking points know that the election is going to be over, and some of the people want to hang on to their credibility. And if they wouldn't tell that lie about that self-inflicted wound, then they should not discuss Vietnam, because there's no way President Bush can win in that argument, and they're not going to discuss it until the election's over.
Hey, and a little later in the program, Bill, you want to go to hear this. You know, for a long, long time, I've explained how Limbaugh, in particular, builds a lie from one day to the next.
Yes.
He makes something out of nothing.
Oh, he's good.
And then by the end of the week, it's what was a blatant lie is a fact. I've got absolute proof of Hannity. I've got some sound bites showing Hannity in action doing it, actually, from one day to the next, how he built a lie into a fact. It's really great.
Why am I not surprised? Just before I go, I want to say that if you're a Vietnam veteran, I haven't forgotten about you. I respect you, and I'll be grateful to you till I kick the bucket, and thank God for your service.
I will as well. Bill, thank you very much. Okay, we're going to go to David in Fort Myers. David, welcome to the show.
Yeah, first-time caller, somewhat of a long-time listener.
Glad to have you with us.
And I guess I'm about to become a libertarian after listening to you and the other side.
Well, congratulations.
It's just, it just gets... I guess right now I would consider myself a Zell Miller Democrat, an old-time Southern Democrat who believes in conservative values. And that's why John Kerry has so much trouble, or anybody from the Northeast, because of their socialist views on so many social issues. And that's always going to be a problem for we Democrats throughout the rest of the country.
So you don't think we need any social issues in this country?
I don't think we need socialist issues or socialist ideas.
What would include socialist ideas? Certainly social security.
Well, redistribution of wealth.
Not redistribution of wealth. Let's start with...
That is a socialist idea.
How about social security, Dave?
Well, I have my problems with that now that I'm of a later generation.
In our interstate...
And my parents, who grew up on the farm...
Mine too.
Didn't really think much of Social Security. You took care of your own back then, sir.
Well, that's not how it goes
today,
though.
It wasn't until, I believe, the Great New Deal, or the new society under LBJ that we had to start looking at taking care of everybody else and taking the responsibility away from their own relatives.
So you think we ought to be able to do it just the same today as we did it back in the 30s and 40s?
Well, I think the camel's got his foot, his nose, and his butt all the way in the tent. How do you get out of it? Right?
Well, society ever survived without having some social programs. None.
Well, no society ever fell either without it. Rome fell from being a
welfare
state.
That's right. And so the question is, how to manage your social issues well enough?
Well, unfortunately, I think welfare reform has done a lot from the Clinton administration, who in order to get his name on the paper, had to sign it when the Republicans pushed it down his throat. But, let's face it, when guys try to go back and why isn't Mr. Kerry talking about his 20 years in the Senate? I mean, he at the convention, he spoke one sentence about his Senate career when he was in there 20 years.
Well, how about Mr. Bush? You've called and said you were going to... Hey, let's have a two-way conversation here, David. Let's have a two-way conversation when you call here, huh? Let's do that. You've called here and said you're either going to become a libertarian or I don't know what. And all you've done is cut down Democrats. Do you have anything to say about the Republicans that you don't like?
It's from the Northeast. That's what you're not understanding, sir. The majority of Democrats throughout the South and probably the Midwest don't agree with half of the philosophies of a socialist Democrat from the Northeast.
I am from the Midwest originally, and I know how Democrats in the Midwest feel. And the Roosevelt Democrats were from the Midwest, they were from the South, they were from the Northeast, they were from all over the country.
The only reason they were for Roosevelt is because of the farm subsidies, sir.
That's
the only reason.
Oh, come on.
The farm subsidies, and Social Security helped out the farm widow because the people died so early because farming was a risky business.
So you don't think we should have had the REA then? That's no good either. You're not winning this argument. Hey, Dave, thanks for calling. You've got to be able to recognize that we do have social issues in this country that need addressed, and the only way to do it is for all of us to pull together and help one another out. You know, that was a perfect example right there of this me that I'm always talking about how the Democrats are the we people. I don't apologize for that. Are some of the things that we do in this country and some of the things the Democratic Party backs socialistic? You betcha. You bet they are. We recited a big laundry list of socialist things last week that all of us are involved in. The people that inspect our meat, our federal highways, the people that inspect our drugs and approve our drugs. These are all social issues. And yet you talk to somebody like I just talked to, and they think, well, we can all get by. No, we can't. We cannot. The society would die without some social issues that we need to all pull together on. And one of them coming up for sure is medicine. We cannot continue down this road. I don't know how many of you saw the Now program last night, but we can't continue to go down this road the way the medical costs are spiraling. We're going to have to pull together and figure out a way to solve this. We're not going to be able to all say, we'll just take care of our own here, and we'll keep grandma and grandma in the back room like we used to do back in the 40s and the 30s and so forth. It doesn't work that way anymore. Society changes. We have to change with it. We're not going to do like some of the Muslims want to do and stay in the 8th century. No, we have to move on. That's why we're progressive. That's why we are liberal. Conservatives never did anything for this country. Nothing. Hey, it's about time to... No, it's not time to pause for the news yet, is it? No, not yet. Okay, we'll take one quick call here. Where are we at here? We're going to go to John in Nashville. John, welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon, guy. Thanks for taking my call. Your last caller said that Rome fell because it was a welfare state.
Yeah.
I'll just send him a history book.
Yeah.
Anyway, this kind of actually goes into your friend from Naples who was painting his daughter's bedroom and listens to talk radio and gets all of the good information from the other guys. I like to talk about the quality of the information that those guys, and I think one of the best ways that you can judge that is to look at some of the snake oil that they actually sell on the side and use their name. talk show host here in Nashville by the name of Dave Ramsey. He does a personal finance talk show. He's regarded far and wide as being a pretty straight shooter, and he's a Christian evangelical and a conservative, but you know that is not in the forefront of what he talks about. One day, someone called in and asked him, "What about gold as an investment?" And he said, "Gold is one of the worst investments ever. The 70-year index for gold is worse than that for just a CD. You might as well put your money in a CD." And the only reason I bring that up, look who's selling gold: Sean Hannity,
yep,
that Savage guy, Michael
right,
Savage.
Right.
They're selling gold.
Right.
Then I was listening to Dean Nadell, and someone called in and asked him about this CortiSlim stuff. Again, he debunked that whole thing. He said there's no scientific evidence to back up anything that they say.
And they're all selling that.
Who's selling CortiSlim?
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly. There's at least one other who's selling CortiSlim. And G. Gordon Liddy is selling some.
Glenn Beck, he's selling it too.
Okay. And then Nature's Youth.
All kinds of snake oil. Hey, John, I got a break for the news at the top of the hour. You're absolutely right. And they sell those a lot of those.
Him down to Naples when he listens to these guys and judges the quality of the stuff that they tell him. To think about all the snake oil they'll try.
Yeah,
to sell
and they sell a lot of impotency problem products as well. That must say something about their listeners. Hey, thanks for the call, John. We're going to be right back after the news. You're listening to the Guy James Show, 1200 AM WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida. You stay tuned now, you hear.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Restless in Iraq, I'm Joan Bennett. Militiamen roamed the streets of Najaf during a pause in the fighting with U.S. forces. Meanwhile, at least 10 explosions rocked central Baghdad. The blasts appeared to be targeting the so-called Green Zone, housing the U.S. Embassy and Iraqi government. No casualties reported. Another terror warning for Italy, says ABC's Kate Bowie.
This is the second statement from a group calling itself the Abu Hafsa Masri Brigade, threatening attacks in Italy unless the country's troops are withdrawn from Iraq by the 15th of the month. The Italian government is taking the threat seriously. Security has been increased at hundreds of sites throughout the country, including the Vatican. 4,000 troops have been drafted in to help police.
President Bush warned during his Saturday radio address that terrorists continue to threaten the U.S.
The elevation of the threat level in New York, New Jersey, and Washington, D.C. is a grim reminder of the dangers we continue to face.
Mr. Bush again defending the intelligence used in boosting the threat level last week. John Kerry campaigning in Colorado.
No young American in uniform should ever be held hostage to America's dependence on oil from the Middle East. We need to liberate ourselves.
Police in Volusia County, Florida, are questioning two roommates described as persons of interest but not suspects in the brutal murders of six people whose bodies were found in a home north of Orlando Friday. Reporter Donna Kelly.
They were picked up together in Deltona. They were familiar with the people in the home, and at the time they were picked up, he said they were somewhat cooperative.
The sheriff's department won't say how the victims were killed or speculate on a motive. Two small planes collided over homes in Morris County, New Jersey this morning, killing all five people on board, sending one aircraft plunging into a backyard. No one on the ground was hurt. This is ABC News.
There is no safe cigarette. Cigarette smoking is addictive and causes serious diseases, including lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. The only proven way to reduce the health risks of smoking is to quit. At philipmorrisusa.com, you can find this and other information on the serious health effects of smoking. For more, including information on quitting and links to sites that can help smokers quit, visit philipmorrisusa.com or call 1-877-PM-USA-WEB for excerpts from the site.
So your kid's smoking pot, and now you're afraid to say something because they might push you away. Maybe this will help you out.
I hate you!
You went through my room?
It's just a little pot. You're grounding me?
It's just a little pot! Get used to it. When your kid's trying pot, you have to say something, no matter how they might react. Because to help them with their problem, first you have to get over yours. Action. the anti-drug.
For more information, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800, sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Guy James, proud American patriot and host of America's number one Democratic talk show, brings his bold brand of liberal talk radio to Southwest Florida. Now, here's Guy James.
I invite you to join me every Saturday for a look at the way it really is. You've already heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Guy James, every Saturday, 3 to 6, right here on Power Talk 1200. It's the Guy James Show.
A goal without a plan is just a wish. So just wishing for wealth isn't enough. Financial planning is the key to a secure future. Listen to Your Money, a one-hour show on WPTK every Sunday at noon. Bruce Helmer and Teresa and Dave Hess will answer questions on investment management, tax strategies, estate planning, and more. Brought to you by the Wealth Enhancement Group. Enhancing wealth, enriching life. Learn the power of financial planning on Your Money. Sundays at noon on Power Talk, 1200 WPTK.
Starting at guard for the Miami Soul, at 5'3", the WNBA's 2001 Defensive Player of the Year, Debbie Black.
Hi, I am Debbie Black from the WNBA's Miami Soul. As the shortest player on the court, I have to work a little harder than everyone else, so I know what it feels like to have to catch my breath. But for people suffering with pulmonary hypertension, catching their breath is an everyday struggle. Today, there are over 100,000 people diagnosed with pulmonary hypertension, a lung disease whose symptoms include shortness of breath, chronic fatigue, dizziness, and chest discomfort. While there is no cure for pulmonary hypertension, there are treatments available that can help improve people's lives. But the first step is diagnosis. The Pulmonary Hypertension Association provides a community of hope, support, and education for patients and families affected by pulmonary hypertension. To learn more about the disease, its symptoms, and available treatments, visit www.phassociation.org or call 1-866-474-4742.
He stands for better public schools, equal opportunity, and a cleaner environment. He'll vote to wipe out a federal deficit that weakens America for our children and grandchildren. He'll defend Social Security and Medicare. His name, Robert Neild, Democrat, candidate for the United States Congress.
I'm Robert Neild, and I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more, visit robertneildforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neild for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
While there are many kinds of addictive disorders, overeating, overspending, using drugs, or abusing alcohol, there is only one first step to recovery, say medical experts at Pacific Care Behavioral Health. That step is admitting that there's a problem. As long as a person denies there is a problem, he can't solve it. The next step is seeking out professional help. A trained professional can help evaluate the problem, help the recovering addict develop a plan, and start him or her on the road to recovery.
Domestic violence can result in major injury or even death in what should be the safest place of all, the home. That's why the Florida legislature passed the Family Protection Act, which was recently signed into law by Governor Jeb Bush. People who commit acts of domestic violence will now face even tougher penalties, including mandatory jail terms and much larger fines. Don't make the mistake of bringing domestic violence into your home, or you'll find yourself in a new home with bars.
This message is brought to you by the Executive Office of the Governor, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Welcome back to the Guy James Show. Glad to have you with us here this afternoon. Got a great show going. And right now, without further ado, I'm going to move right on to our caller right now. Our guest of the day, a gentleman that I'm so proud to have on, and really privileged to have, a gentleman whom I've followed his career for a long time, and I must say, out of all the folks on TV that talk about political things, he is my very favorite. It's Mr. Bill Press. Welcome to the program.
Wow. What an introduction, and what a show. Man, how come we haven't discovered each other before?
Well, I'm going to talk to you about that some of these days.
It's an honor to join you, and I feel like a real true blue American hearing that introduction and hearing your voice.
Well, yeah, we're going to have to talk someday. I think we got a mutual friend. I think we both know Tom Athens.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll I'll have to get in touch with you, and we'll talk about that some of these days. Bill, it's refreshing to talk to a compadre on the program. We're in the I always like to say the heart of darkness here in Southwest Florida. It's a tough road to hoe having a liberal talk show down here, and we do call ourselves Democratic and liberal.
But you know, well, I've been down to Fort Myers a couple of times, but let me tell you, there is a yearning across America for alternative voices right now, Guy, and you're one of the strongest ones, and it's important that you be out there and that I be out there because, I mean, not everybody stands up and salutes when George Bush says, you know, we're turning the corner, we're making progress.
Yeah, you know, Bill, we had a caller just a few minutes ago that just so exemplifies the mindset. He was, of course, disparaging John Kerry's military record, which is the vogue thing to do right now.
Oh, yeah, right.
And, you know, when I finally asked the gentleman the question, don't you believe your own White House and don't you believe, who else was it? John McCain. Don't you believe Mr. Bush and John McCain when they say Mr. Kerry's service was honorable? And he said, no. So I don't know what else to, you know, I don't know where else to go when you get an answer like that about that. But
well, you know, it just seems to me, right, if it's somebody who, no matter who it is, right, gets out of college, volunteers to join the military, volunteers to go to war, volunteers to lead a swift boat, and, you know, is shot under fire and kills under fire, defending the country, when they come back, we ought to just say, thank you.
Absolutely.
Right? No matter who they are, no matter what stage, just say thank you and then move on.
Especially off that swift boat. I read a story by, you know, Colonel Hackworth, David Hack, and he recounted this week about how he was on a swift boat a couple of times to get down the river. He said, never again.
Yeah, and it was known that people who put themselves in I think there was like maybe 40, maybe 60%. I was, by the way, doing some talk radio last night for Alan Colmes on the Fox Radio Network. I want you to know.
All right.
I went to the dark side, but
yeah.
Although Alan's show is a breath of fresh air there. But at any rate, somebody called and said that, it was like a 60% fatality rate is what they expected. Maybe it was 40%, but it's pretty high. And you didn't volunteer for that unless you really knew you were putting yourself in harm's way. And, you know, but, Guy, this is the same M.O., I'm sure you've talked about this and pointed out to your listeners. They used this against John McCain, another war hero in 2000. They used it against Max Cleland, another war hero in the year 2002. And now John Kerry, another war hero in 2004. And I think the reason is they can't defend Bush's lack of combat experience, and so they have to tear down any war hero that they end up running against.
It's the old lawyer story. If you got the facts on your side, beat on the facts. If you don't, beat on the table. They're hitting
right.
That table pretty hard right now.
I know. I think it's despicable. But you know what? I think it'll backfire because I don't think the American people want this. I don't think they want to reopen the wounds of Vietnam. I think they want to know what each candidate would do to make this country even better than we are today. And that's what John Kerry is talking about, and George Bush is, he's got his thugs out there, right? Just trying to tear John Kerry down.
It's terrible. And, you know, Bill, I think I agree with you about the backfiring. There are a lot of old World War II vets sitting around saying, you know, I really don't think it's a good idea to be cutting down our brothers in arms. And, you know, a lot of soldiers are going to be sitting around, and military veterans, hearing this, and they're not going to like it. And I think it'll backfire on them. Bill, let's talk about your book.
Okay, thank you.
I love this book, and you guys ought to all run out and get this. It's by Dutton, and it's been out for about 2 months now, I think, and it's a great. You know, Bill was really kind to the administration when he only took the top 10 reasons why George Bush didn't deserve a second term. He could have gone on and on and on, but and I got to admit, Bill, you're a man after my own heart. I just finished it last night, and when I came to the chapter of Broken Promises, you and I agree on what a lot of people wouldn't think of this, I don't think, but the number one reason that just frost my gourd, as we used to say up in farm country, that makes me believe that George Bush doesn't deserve a second term is the horrible treatment of Max Cleland.
You know, I know Max Cleland. I've gotten to know him a little bit. And, I mean, what can you say, again, about a man who goes to Vietnam and comes back with both legs missing and one arm missing, right? I mean, talk about a patriot, and then heads the U.S. Veterans Administration in the United States Senate, and was one of the first ones to suggest after 9/11 that we needed a Homeland Security Department, which George Bush fought and opposed for about 6 months, and then Bush puts in his own version of Homeland Security, which denies the workers in it to have a union representation, to have the same benefits other federal employees do, and Max Cleland opposes it, right? And so then they go in the campaign and call him un-American, actually compare him to Osama bin Laden because he opposed Bush's version of a Homeland Security Department. I mean, I just think it's un-American. I think it's despicable.
Absolutely, it's un-American, and to call yourself a compassionate conservative,
yeah,
and then treat a man like Max Cleland that way is...
I'll tell you, I really believe this, and I know I may be preaching to the choir here, but I think this is the meanest, nastiest, just almost, I want to use the word evil, group of people that I've ever seen in American politics, that we've ever seen in American politics.
It is to me.
They'll stop at absolutely nothing. And then Tom Ridge says, well, you know, maybe we'll have an election, maybe we won't.
Yeah.
You know, if Bush is 10 points behind in the polls, we're going to have a red alert.
I'm going to do a little story a little later on in the program today about the timeline of these terror alerts.
Please do.
Oh,
yeah.
It smells real bad.
I have to tell you, Pat Buchanan and I really got into it on MSNBC earlier today because...
Hard to believe you'd get into it with Pat.
Pat just goes bonkers on this security stuff, right? And I pointed out, I said, look, now, and I don't want to trump what you're going to be talking about, but in my recollection, the last three were, one, John Ashcroft, the day after the Abu Ghraib photos appeared on the front page.
Yep.
Two, Tom Ridge, the day after John Edwards is named vice presidential nominee. And three, Tom Ridge, 2 days after the after the Democratic, depending on how you count, the Democratic convention ended in Boston, and where he starts, by the way, with information that is 3 years old.
Yeah.
These were photographs taken of buildings before 9/11. Obviously, they were targeting those buildings. They changed their mind. They went after the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. He puts this information out right after the Democratic convention and starts out by praising George Bush as a true leader in the fight in the war on terror. And you tell me these are not politically motivated?
Yeah, I thought I was watching a commercial.
I believe that they should rename this department the Department of Homeland Propaganda. I think Karl Rove calls the shots. The Democrats start making some traction. Karl Rove calls Tom Ridge and says, hey, we need another terror alert. You know,
Bill, I was talking to a hardcore Republican friend yesterday about this timeline on these terror alerts, and I was telling him how they lined up. And, you know, he said to me, and then he thought what he'd said, and thought, to himself, he's gone, oh, my God. He says to me, well, Guy, he said, there's so many things that have happened during the Bush administration, bad things. He said, how could they not coincide with these terror alerts? And then it was like he looked at himself and went, oops, I admitted it, didn't I?
Yeah. But, you know, again, I don't think they're fooling the American people. To me, it is so blatantly obvious what they're doing is that they're yanking everybody's chain. Unnecessarily, and by the way, you know, I'm all for the war on terror, but let's make it real. You know, let's not turn it into a political game, which is what these people have done.
Absolutely. I mean, there are terrorists all over the world. Getting a great big army after them isn't always the thing to do. There are cells, and maybe we need cells to go after them. I don't approve of the way we fought this war, and I don't believe. I'm very angry over the way we kind of dropped the ball in Afghanistan.
Here's a question. Pat was saying, oh boy. You know, you criticize these alerts that I'd be the first one, you know, to go on the air and attack them if something happened to these buildings, and they hadn't warned us. My question is, what is the public warning all about? I mean, let's say, you know, you're in the police department, you get word that some guys are going to rob a bank, right, in Fort Myers or wherever. You know, you don't go on television and say, okay, we know we're going to hit this bank at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. What you do is just your people there, you catch them in the act, and you got it. You succeed. So going after the terrorist, I've got no problem with. It's these phony, baloney public warnings that I think are designed, again, just to change the subject.
Yeah, look over there. Don't look at what we're doing. Yeah,
they work, and you know, at MSNBC, I can't tell you how many times Pat and I have been on the air, and then we're bounced because there's some new terror alert, and the cable news just goes 24/7 on it.
Well, it's driven by money, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems like news isn't all that important. You know, Bill, I don't want to forget. A friend of mine made me swear to ask you this question today.
Okay. By the way, I just got to make sure everybody knows that the name of the book is Bush Must Go.
Yeah.
Top 10 Reasons Why George Bush Doesn't Deserve a Second Term. Thank you for giving it your own endorsement there. And it is still available in the bookstores. It's on the bestseller list in D.C., the bestseller list in San Francisco. And we want to get it on the bestseller list down in Fort Myers, Florida, too.
Yeah,
so,
well, when donkeys fly.
Go to Amazon.com and get it, too.
It's a great book, and it's a good read. You know, so many times you get a book nowadays, and you start in onto it,
yeah.
and you go, oh, I don't know about this. But this, you can zip right through this book, and it's easy to understand.
In all humility, I call it the latest and the best of the Bush-bashing books. So I got...
Well, I can't disagree with that.
But you said you had a question for one.
Oh, yeah. And so I promised that I would ask this question.
Uh-oh.
He said, I want you to ask Bill Press, how in the world does he keep from reaching across the table and grabbing a guy like Tucker Carlson and smacking him once? And I said, well, I think Bill's a gentleman, but he meant that question. Some of the things that come out of the guy's mouth. I know you all have a kinship with the folks in Washington, and we get carried away with it in anger sometimes. I know I do. And
well, the real answer to that question is because MSNBC pays me a lot of money.
Good enough reason right there. That'll
but you
work.
Know what? I do believe, I really believe this, and I'm sure you do too. We can disagree on policy, you know, but we can still agree that we're basically believing the same things and working for the same goal. We just have different ways of getting there. People say, why did I write this book? Because I hate George Bush. And I tell them, you know, I don't hate George Bush. I think he's a sad excuse for a president. There's no hate in my soul. I don't hate George Bush. I love America.
Yeah.
And that's to me, that's what it's all about. So at the end of the day, we can disagree, but then go out and have a beer. You know, that's what life's all about.
Well, it's a shame the way things are going right now. It almost appears sometimes that we're going to have another civil war some of these days. It's just, you know, families are being divided and friends are being broken apart because of political things. And I,
well, yeah, look, and you can't, if you're an entertainer. Who happens to be on the left, you know,
ooh,
you can't express your opinion without getting fired these days. I mean, there's a level of intolerance on the other side toward, look at the stuff that Michael Moore gets laid on him, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just because he happens to be critical of George W. Bush. You know, George Bush is not the United States of America, right? I mean,
nope.
He happens to be the president at this time. And God bless America, you know, we've got the right to criticize the policies of a president, Republicans certainly did when Bill Clinton was there, without being branded un-American.
Bill, what do you think is the one thing that's going to, if there is one thing, one major thing, what do you think is going to bring Bush down? And I firmly believe he's going down.
Well, I'd have to say, if you asked me before today, I would say clearly right away the war in Iraq.
There's a war in Iraq?
Well, and the continued... Yeah, right. It's not over. It's still going on. The war in Iraq, the occupation in Iraq, and the daily violence, the daily death toll there. And Bush has said, I'll stake my reelection up or down on what's happening in Iraq. And, you know, I would take that challenge. But today, with this latest economic news and the job growth and the paltry job growth in July, I think the economy is also going to be a major issue, Guy. I really do. I mean, here's Bush running around the country saying we're turning the corner, and they projected 247,000 new jobs in July. There are only 32,000. That's the fourth month in a row that job growth has declined. The Dow, the NASDAQ, and the Standard & Poor down at their lowest level. And everybody, all the economists are now saying that any economic growth we've started to see has totally stalled and is just going to get worse. That's going to be tough for Bush because people are hurting. He people are really hurting out there.
Oh, I couldn't agree more about the economy. And, you know, even the 32,000 jobs that come up with this month, they end up revising the last 2 months downward again.
Exactly.
They always do that.
And I know you pointed this out, and I point out to people, too, the new jobs that have been created, for the most part, are low-income jobs going to new people moving into this country. They're not replacing the manufacturing jobs that have been lost or have been sent overseas.
Oh, we're going to have a guest on the program next week, and I don't want to let the cat too much out of the bag, but it's Middle Joe American, a gentleman I know very, very well, and he's a common guy. He makes $18 an hour. And he works for a very big company, and he's going to tell the whole story next week. But he works for a very, very big company and making $18 an hour, which isn't all that much nowadays. But they've come along to him this past week and said, "Guess what? We're hiring temps to take all you guys' place. We've been with the company for 37 years, and you can keep your job with the temp company, but it pays $9."
Oh, yeah.
So that's happening all over America.
Yeah, no, it is indeed. So I think when you get the combination of a sinking economy and a quagmire, or whatever you want to call it, in Iraq, which is flowing from a war that was George Bush's choice to go into, not a necessary war. I think the combination of those is pretty troubling for George Bush, and makes it pretty hopeful that we can see a change of regime change in Washington.
Where do you see, and I know you keep up on these things as I do daily, the electoral outlook right now? What do you think?
You know, I have to tell you, Guy, a lot of people, a lot of my friends in Washington, and by the way, both conservative and liberal journalists, think that this is going to be a landslide for Kerry. I don't. I think it's going to be close. I think the polls show that it's still show, you know, they do still show it's right. Basically, nip and tuck with Kerry and Edwards a little bit ahead, right down to the wire. And then I think it'll be whatever's in the news the last couple of days that decides this election. I just hope it's the margin is wide enough that we don't have to go through another recount either in Florida or any other state.
Oh, don't even mention it.
I mean, by the way, I know on my book tour, everywhere I went, the one question that was asked most often and asked every single stop was, how are they going to try to steal the election this time? People are really afraid of a repeat of 2000. And with these electronic voting machines and no paper trail, you can't blame them.
No. I the old-fashioned way was good enough for me. If we have to wait an additional 8 hours to get the results, fine. I want the paper. I've got to have the paper.
No, absolutely. And, you know, because I was talking about this last night, in Florida, now the Republican committee down in Florida has advised people to vote absentee if they want to be sure their vote counts. So they don't even have any confidence in their own damn machines.
Yeah. I mean, Jeb himself vote absentee. That floored me. I really did. I didn't think they'd have that kind of nerve. I honestly didn't. Bill.
Well, I guess Catherine Harris isn't there anymore to steal the election for them, you know, so maybe they think they have to take some other measures like voting absentee.
Well, you know, as there was good and bad about Catherine Harris. Thank God she's not working in the state of Florida anymore, but then again, she's representing the folks just to the north of us here. And
unfortunately, those of us in Washington feel that your gain is our loss.
I tell you. Yeah, she wasn't a real popular gal amongst Democratic circles down here, and especially what went on with even the new list now where they tried to ban a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. No Latinos happen to make the list just because in Florida a lot of them vote Republican. By the way, I was in her district. I have to tell you, as part of my book tour is in Sarasota, and I'm not saying Sarasota is going to go for Kerry, but the biggest crowd I had across the country, there were over 400 people, and they came out in Sarasota, Florida, and they were just chomping at the bit to get rid of George Bush, the most enthusiastic crowd I met anywhere in the country.
Well, Bill, I'll tell you a quick story about a year and 4 months ago, I spoke at the Collier County Democrat Club. That's in Naples, Florida. And they had about 25 or 30, more like 25, very well-meaning folks there. And it was a subdued meeting, but it was great to see 25 Democrats at that meeting.
Yeah.
Last week, I went to the Collier County Democratic Club meeting, and there were 500 people there. And they were on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is in one of the most Republican counties in the United States. So I'm energized by the Democrats right now, and I hope we can keep it up. Bill, once again, the book Bush Must Go, The Top 10 Reasons Why George Bush Doesn't Deserve a Second Term. I couldn't agree more. This is a great book, and I hope you'll all... It's available everywhere, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's still at the bookstores. As I said, it's still in the bestseller list in some parts of the country, and people can get it online either at Amazon and Barnes and Noble, if they can't get out to the bookstore.
Good. Bill, it's been such a pleasure having you on.
Hey, this is real fun. I'm glad to know you, and I hope we can do this often, because we're definitely on the same team.
Well, if it's all right, I'll give you a call sometime. We'll talk about our friend Tom Athens.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. Ladies
Thanks
and gentlemen, Bill Press. A very fine gentleman, and what a refreshing guy to have on the program. He's just one of the real gentlemen. Real gentleman in the media, and this book is a winner. I mean, you will love this book, and it's not a big book. I'm trying to see how many pages you got here. 288 pages, but backs everything up with facts, as Democrats like to do. And I think right now we probably need to pause for a break. You're listening to The Guy James Show. Stay tuned. Let me give the phone numbers real quick. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Locally, 479-5540 in Lee County and 263-6570 in Collier County. And we'll be right back after these words.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, with fierce determination, with uncompromising resolve, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there to touch their spirit, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held, until every battle's won and every song is sung, until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at USO.org.
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Isn't it? So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
You lost me.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Think your house can win the fight? Visit Firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. Firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
With you on a lovely Saturday afternoon here in Fort Myers, Florida. Gosh, what a great guy to talk to, Bill Press. He's got a great sense of humor. He knows the facts. He's a real gentleman. And do get that book. I do want you to go out and get that book. Bush Must Go, The Top 10 Reasons Why George Bush Doesn't Deserve a Second Term. Oh, baby. Hey, I want to take a moment or two. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. I want to take a moment here. And we spoke earlier about what we think of some of the right-wing talk show hosts. I want to... direct your attention to a little bit I'm going to play here, this first one's from Neil Bortz. Here's the kind of talk we get from our conservative talk show host, and then after that, I'm going to set one up about Mr. Sean Hannity on how they build the lie. Folks, we'll catch him in the act of building the lie. The way we've always said they've done it, we actually have it on tape. Let's see here. Where are we at? Oh, Neil Bortz.
Simply by saying with conviction, oh, there's the catch. It has to be with conviction. Something like, okay. Oh, there is no true God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. Okay, fine. And then you're a Muslim. I mean, say that with conviction, folks, and the next thing you know, you're strapping on a suicide bomb.
Isn't that a nice thing to say about our Muslim friends? Yeah, there's some bad apples in that group. There's some bad apples in the Christian group, bad apples in the Jewish group, Confucius. Everybody's got some bad apples. And I know everybody's upset with the Muslim world right now. I know you are, but there's no need to talk like that. That doesn't help anything. Mr. Bortz also said this past week, I just cannot tell you which one presents the greater threat. This is an American now saying this to other Americans. I just cannot tell you which one presents the greater threat. One group of people, Osama bin Laden and his Islamic terrorist, the Islamic jihadist, and the other group of people, those of you who would vote for John Kerry. So you can take your pick. Who's the worst, the Islamic terrorist or those of us who would vote for John Kerry? Thank you, Mr. Bortz. Thank you very much. Now, let's see here. If I can find this on my little computer, The Anatomy of a Lie by Sean Hannity. Now, this is how he does it. He starts out talking about Howard Dean, and they do this all the time, talking about Howard Dean's statement this past week. Howard Dean said, it's impossible to know how much of this, meaning your announcement this weekend by Tom Ridge and making the public aware of the elevated threat, how much of it is real or how much of it is politics. Pay particular attention to that part right there. How much of it is real or how much of it is politics. He says he suspects it's both. Well, listen how Mr. Hannity takes this and gradually weaves it in as a fact to what he wants it to say.
Howard Dean in an interview this weekend. Now, here's a prominent Democrat that nearly got the nomination for their party to run for president this year. And he says it's impossible to know how much of this, meaning your announcement this weekend by Tom Ridge and making the public aware of the elevated threat, is real or how much of it is politics. He says he suspects it's both. No evidence, no proof, no substantiation to back up this charge of his. We're just talking about national security issues, and I brought up this quote of Howard Dean. Now, Howard Dean is a supporter of John Kerry. He's out on the campaign trail for John Kerry. And he went in this interview and suggested that this terror alert that came out, this announcement by Tom Ridge over the weekend, may be about politics. He did. You know, I used the example earlier in the program about Howard Dean. Howard Dean is out there suggesting that this terror alert that came forward this weekend was, quote, the Republicans playing politics.
See how he does it? He starts out with the exact quote from Howard Dean, how it might be politics or it playing politics, or maybe, you know, it could be both, and then he leaves out the both, and then he gradually just takes it down, shaves it down to saying what he wants it to say. That's how they do it. Rush Limbaugh does that week after week after week. We've said it many times on this show. On Monday, someone will call in with some outrageous idea to talk about, and Limbaugh will say, "Well, you know, that's something to think about." And then on Tuesday, he'll bring up that very subject and say, "Well, you know, we heard yesterday all about this," and then about on Wednesday, he'll say, "Well, we know that what we talked about on Monday is a fact." I mean, they do it over and over and over again, and there's a perfect example of it right there of how Mr. Hannity does it. Going to go to John in Fort Myers. John, welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon and wonderful show. And I heard Bill Press last night on the program he was sitting in.
Alan Combs?
Alan Combs. And he was great. And, you know, I noticed that when he had several Republican callers, and when they just can't carry the argument, they start this talking over you and just not shutting their mouth and trying to listen. And you know, as you just pointed out with the tape you just played, we're getting a bunch of propaganda. And on all these shows that we get locally, it's just nothing but propaganda. Maybe this show is propaganda. But people have to learn how to sort this stuff out and really realize what the heck is going on. And it's only the Republicans that are talking about this war record. Have you noticed that?
Well, I think at first it was a good tact for the Republicans because they were going to take John Kerry's strength and go head on into his strength. But I think it's backfired on them now, and now they're into, you know, they've got to talk about it now. And how are they going to back out of this latest thing? I mean, how are they going to get out of that? I don't know.
Well, I hear them saying, or I hear the comments, well, Kerry's touting his war record. Well, I haven't heard Kerry touting his war record. I've only heard the Republicans touting the war record. Then I got a kick out of Bortz and these local hosts here, Watkins, and they talked about the frivolous lawsuits, talking about Edwards. And, you know, they've got to stop these frivolous lawsuits. And I thought, you know, the minute Mr. Watkins' child gets mistreated by a doctor and he thinks he has a case, he's going to want to sue. And, of course, they're not making too big an issue out of the frivolous lawsuits anymore because they realize that there may be a day they need to sue. And the same with Bortz. So, you know, the Republicans have kind of two scales they're working on. And out of all this, shouldn't the Republicans be mad as hell that their president took them to a war based on information that we hear every day was false?
Yeah.
And he's indebted their great-grandchildren to pay for this war. And, you know, you've got to swallow your pride and say, look, this man did a bad thing for this country. This war was not necessary. Now, unfortunately, the people don't get to hear a show we have locally, Sasha's show on Fridays. She had a former CIA agent who just admitted that during his service, they didn't know anything about what was going on in Iraq. They had no people on the ground. If you ever see the movie Lawrence of Arabia that was shot 30 or 40 years ago and watch it seriously, you'll understand why you never go to war with these Arabs. They'll kill the enemy of their brother and so forth, and all they want to do is kill us now, and this is going to go on for centuries.
Yes, it is.
And I don't know that President Kerry, if elected, could make the situation any better or get us out any quicker, but we are certainly in a mess with this Middle East stuff. And from what I heard on Sasha's show, the CIA man has no answer for it. And he's studied the situation, and he's had expertise in the whole deal.
Well, you know, John, the incumbent president always has the advantage, and he's got a record to run on. And, you know, I don't think Mr. Bush has much of a record to run on, and so they've got to tarnish Kerry as much as they possibly can. But I just can't see how anybody could think that there's much on his ledger right now on the positive side. I really can't. I try. And you're right about being fair. I voted Democratic all my voting life, and back in 1978, probably right in the middle of Jimmy Carter's term, you know, I said to myself, I'm not happy with the way things are going. I'm not happy. I think he could do a better job. And, you know, I admitted he could do a better job. I think maybe I was wrong. You have to admit you're wrong. And don't you think so much of this nowadays is just about winning?
It's just like a sports game,
yeah.
An athletic sports game. Let me comment one thing about the election. I had a friend who's passed away now but was 86. And when the last election was running, they predicted that Bush was going to win, and it was going to be by skullduggery, and that he was going to take us to war, and this was going to be the last election we would see.
Oh.
And here we have talk of postponing the elections over what might happen, a terrorist attack may happen. And this person's passed on now, but I thought, you know, 2 out of 3, I hope, is all you get.
Oh, but absolutely.
The way they're talking in the administration now of postponing the election, it's making those predictions that person gave me come true, and I resent that. I regret it. I hope it doesn't happen.
I saw that as a trial balloon being floated when they threw that up, and I got to tell you, that frightened me.
They better not do it. The Constitution provides for certain things, and if people don't believe it, go out and buy a Constitution of the United States and read it. And it's being violated by these fellows who have sworn to uphold the Constitution.
Yep.
Bush has ripped our Constitution apart. And as a Republican, I don't know how Republicans can take this. and stand up and defend this guy for what he's done. And I know you don't want to admit your team player is no good, but this isn't good for this country.
He's not a Republican.
No, we're in something that this country is going to be involved in for the next 25 years. This is worse than Vietnam,
yeah,
because we
right.
can't get out. Thank you.
You're right. And the theater in this war is much, much larger than Vietnam. It's the whole world this time. Before I go to the next call, and by the way, call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. I just want to read you a couple of comments. I mentioned earlier today about Colonel David Hackworth. Everybody knows who he is. He's a retired lieutenant colonel, and he's been on the news quite a bit. Tough guy. And he's a conservative. And he makes no bones about that. And he's talking about being on the swift boats in Vietnam. And the Navy petty officer asked him, "How's it going, Colonel?" And Hack says, "I got to tell you, Chief, this isn't my bag," I responded. He goes on to say, "I did the small boat thing only twice. Why? Because as an infantry grunt, I simply didn't like the odds. And since those hair-raising trips, my steel pot has always been off to those soldiers. This is a tough guy talking right here. This is a real tough guy, Hack is. And he's been a hardcore conservative, but he's for the soldier, always for the soldier. And the idea of disparaging John Kerry's record is, don't get me started. Going to go to Amanda. Amanda in Georgia.
Hi, guy. Well, you can get me started.
I knew that.
Look, I've got a comment to that guy who called in about three or four callers back. First of all, Bill Preston's an excellent job. He's just so well informed, and I do intend to get the book. Thank you for having him on the show.
Thanks.
This guy who called in, who was slamming Senator Kerry, and he was also saying what he was saying about the saying Kerry was a war criminal. I want to tell this fellow something. He slammed every Vietnam veteran who served there. Yes, there was a Geneva Convention. There was a Geneva Convention in place. But I know firsthand there was ways to get around that from the higher-ups, the generals down. You couldn't use something called a silencer, but you could use something called a noise suppressor. Just like with Abu Ghraib, when they get into that, they're going to find out that those orders came from the top. It didn't come from the bottom, the lowly. They're going to find this out, just like in Vietnam. And my husband was in Vietnam in 71 when Kerry was making that speech, 70-71. And he said he was thrilled that Kerry was trying to get him out of Vietnam. He didn't want to be the last man to die.
Right.
And he was fighting in the jungles. And as far as the swift boat people, my husband was in Vietnam with Oliver North. Doesn't mean he served with him. And he, from what I've heard, he said Oliver North was all talk and would not have really gotten into the jungles and done the real fighting.
Well, North is good at talk. I'll say
that. Yeah, he's good at talk. And I'll tell you something else. If this guy is getting his information from people like Oxymoron, from Rush Limbaugh, who didn't have the guts. I don't have a problem with people who didn't go to Vietnam, and neither do most Vietnam veterans, but when they get up there and act like they have all the answers, like they were in the jungles, like they were fighting,
right.
They don't know crap.
That's right.
And
that's,
I mean, they don't have a right to say, first of all, I'm sure there were atrocities over there. I'm sure there were. I know there were. Because my husband lives with the horrors of that war every day, and so does every other veteran who has fought that war, that was actually in the fight. And it really, really irked me for him to say what he said. And Kerry did tell the truth. There were search and destroy missions, and it came from a higher-up.
My wife's brother was there, and it haunted him after he was home. And I must say, in an indirect way, that war ended up killing him. And,
oh, sure. Sure, the average lifespan, and I know this guy.
Yes.
Is about 60 for a Vietnam vet. I went clear to Washington, D.C. I sat down with the people who wrote the environmental toxins. I sat down with the people who wrote Agent Orange and distributed it to the VAs. I know their lifespan. And
yeah.
So for this guy to get on there and, call John Kerry the names. I watched it. I'm here from Georgia for the guy who called in and said he was a Zell Miller. That's just what we need, another Zell Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, my God.
A Zell Miller Democrat? Are you kidding?
Yeah, really. What I'm saying is I am from Georgia. I am born and bred from Georgia. And I'm going to tell you, we Georgians who are Democrats are quite upset with Zell Miller. And when he was against social programs, was he also Mr. Troop supporter against the $28 billion that was cut the day we invaded Iraq, the day, and don't take my word for it. Hey, I was on C-SPAN with Jim McDermott. He verified it. So that was my rant for the day. They really aggravated me. They made me angry, and they're desperate, and that's why they're calling in. That's why they're saying what they're saying.
That's right. It is desperation, and it's going to get a whole lot meaner. I don't think we've seen anything yet.
Oh, yeah, I've already heard the talk about Teresa Hines-Carrion about how she's a terrorist supporter. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, well.
You know, and I hope the guy that called before me, I hope his friend who had passed on was not right, but people, you better go out and vote like your life's depending on it, because it does.
That's right. Amanda,
okay.
thanks for your
call.
Do appreciate it very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Go, let's see, we've got Andy waiting. Andy in Cape Coral. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy. Listen, I'm a first-time listener to your show, and to be honest with you, I'm a Republican. I listen to all those other radio shows, and I agree with you. They're a slam fest. They pretty much slam Kerry every which way there is to slam them. And I also think you pretty much do the same thing to Bush, and I'd really rather not go down that road if it's all right with you.
Fine.
But there was a call to ask, what do we see in Bush? What do we see in this guy? Well, what I see is when Bush came into the presidency, starting from that day onwards, he inherited an economy from Clinton that wasn't doing too good. It had been doing great for 8 years, but it was coming to the end of a long, good run, and it was kind of tailing down, and he inherited a security situation where we'd been woefully inadequate intelligence, where we weren't really paying attention to what terrorism was going to do to us, and it really got us good.
Was it Bill Clinton's fault?
No,
then?
I don't think it's anybody's fault. I think a president does what a president's got to do. You know, that's just the situation in the world. Clinton did the job he did based on what Clinton is, and I'm not going to say anything about that. You know, I don't want to get into a slam fest, like I say. But what I see with Bush is that the economy has turned around.
You really believe it has?
I really do believe it.
We've got the stock market going south right now. We've got the jobs going south.
The stock market's going into a correction right now. It's been going into a correction for the last couple of weeks. Look, I invest in the stock market. It's been going up and down. Basically, the stock market has been about the same for the last couple of years. It's been holding forth.
How did it do during Clinton's administration?
Excuse me?
How did it do during Clinton's administration?
Again, Clinton didn't have nothing to do with the stock market. You know, it's nothing to do with these leaders. The stock market is what the stock market is. You know, too much importance is placed on what these presidents do. Now, with the other thing, the security thing, what I see with George Bush is that he was handed a situation on September 11th that I wouldn't want to hand to any president. And he went into action the best he knew how to deal with that situation. And what I've seen since September 11th is we haven't been attacked on our home soil, and we've been very fortunate for that. And as far as I can tell, all of the terrorists are over there in Iraq fighting our volunteer army instead of over here.
Hey, we've got a lot of yelling going on in the background. I can barely hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me switch phones here. Maybe. Hold on.
Well.
Okay, is that better, guy?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I was on my portable phone there. Yeah, what I see is that, you know, all the terrorists seem to be over in Iraq fighting our guys instead of over here trying to blow us up. And we haven't been hit for 3 years. That's a good thing. So, you know, I'm going to give Bush partial credit for that because of his policies of, well, going to Iraq for one thing, going to Afghanistan. Another thing is that...
Where do you think we're at in Afghanistan right now?
Well, I think we're probably in a better position than we were before we went in there.
Are we?
The Taliban was in control there.
They still are.
A lot of people were getting treated pretty badly over there, and now it's better. Same thing with Iraq.
That's where you're wrong, Andy. The situation in Afghanistan is abysmal right now. One out of every seven people in Afghanistan is in the heroin trade. We've got nobody going to school in Afghanistan. We've got the warlords in almost in total control of that country, except for a few isolated spots. We've really accomplished very little in Afghanistan.
We could have done a lot more in Afghanistan.
We could have. Instead, we pulled out and we went to...
Maybe we should have stayed in Afghanistan a little longer and made it better over there.
Absolutely. Instead, we went after... We went after... Excuse me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Instead, we pulled out of there. Instead of finishing the job there, we went to Iraq, a place he had intended to go even before he was elected. We all know that. Paul O'Neill told us that.
No, we don't know that.
So Paul O'Neill and all the people coming out of his administration are all liars?
I'm not calling anybody a liar.
Okay, Paul O'Neill and people in his cabinet have told us.
You know, I hear the Republicans going down that road. I've been hearing you go down that road. I've heard some pretty bad name-calling all around, you know. I hear it all during the week, and now I'm hearing it from your show. I don't see much difference between the two policies.
But you're still willing to give Bush another chance.
I've tried to explain what I see. You know, the question was, what do we see in this guy? I've tried to explain what I see. Basically, in general, I've seen him do better on security than it was after 9/11.
How is it better?
And I've seen him do better.
Just tell me, Andy, how is it better? Are we safer?
Been attacked since 9/11.
We hadn't been attacked a long time before 9/11 either.
Yes, we were. Oh, come on. The World Trade Center got bombed before that.
When?
Embassies?
When?
Lebanon?
When did it get attacked before that? On our shores? We hadn't been attacked on our shores.
The World Trade Center got bombed.
Yeah,
before.
3 weeks into Clinton's administration. Three weeks. And then we weren't attacked in this country. And then we weren't attacked in this country all that time.
Again, you bring up Clinton's administration as if that had anything to do with it.
No. I'm trying to get you to see that the fact that we haven't been attacked again in this country only 3 years.
World terrorism has been rearing its ugly head and getting worse and worse.
Andy, we got attacked in 1993 in the World Trade Center, and we didn't get attacked again in this country until 9/11. Yeah, is that whose fault is that?
I'm not. Look, what is again? Whose fault? Where's the blame? You know, can you?
No, can you give? Is that Clinton's responsibility that we didn't get attacked from 1993 all the way up to 9/11 again?
Didn't get attacked. Our boys were getting attacked all.
Did
over the
we
world.
Get attacked on our shores? We're talking about feeling safe here right now. Let's
feel
keep
safer.
Do you?
And I bet
well,
a lot
I
of
don't.
In this country that feel
you're not making any sense. You're not making any sense, Andy. You're just saying I feel, and I feel isn't good enough. Not good enough at all. Scott in Punta Gorda. Scott, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. My goodness.
I spent entirely too long on that call.
Oh, I didn't think so. I thought you had a pretty good conversation there.
No, not really.
You know, in a way, I kind of agree with him because people on both sides are calling names. You know, there's no issues being brought up. It's all personalities again. But I want to tell you, you know, there's a couple of reasons, I think, why we're over there. I think the first one is that war is a real good foundation for stable government. You can get for general acceptance to accept the political authority of a country. And that's why we've had so many in the 20th century. And don't forget, we had most of those wars, every one of them in the 20th century, except for the last one, were under democratic regimes. Not that that makes any difference, because there's no difference in them anyhow.
No, it doesn't make any difference, and the Civil War wasn't under a democratic regime anyway, either, so, and neither was Vietnam.
Well, that was the 19th century.
And neither was Vietnam.
Vietnam War was what?
It wasn't just a democratic administration. They didn't get us into it. We first went into Vietnam under Eisenhower.
Well, we went in there, and then Kennedy expanded it a little bit, and Johnson really expanded
That's
it.
That's right. But we first committed people in there during the Dwight Eisenhower administration. I'm not faulting him for that, but that's when it first happened.
That's true. And, of course, Eisenhower, I think, was one of the biggest liberals we've ever had. Matter of fact, I can't think of anyone that we've had in the 20th century that was not a liberal. And when you're talking about all these social issues we got, how long is it going to be before we go bankrupt because of these social issues?
What are you suggesting? That we just get rid of all of our social programs and say to hell with everybody that can't make it their own?
Now, can you come up here to me, guy, and put a gun in my face and say, I want your money because I'm going to give it to this person over here?
No, but I can appeal to your sense of goodness.
That's right.
And ask that you participate in a program here in the country that we're all in together, and we can help take care of those who can't help themselves, and we can help the kids in the Head Start program. And I know there's waste in programs. I know there is.
Listen, that war on poverty, if all the money that was collected from USINs to give to the people that needed it, everyone would have gotten like $65,000 back in 1970. A family of six would have gotten $300,000 apiece.
So do we just stop trying?
It went to the administration.
Do we just stop trying?
Well, I would like to see that more than I'd like to see this waste. How much longer is it going to be, like I say, before we have to spend 16 hours a day just to pay the interest on our debt? How come?
We could spend our money better, but it's certainly the social programs aren't what's doing it right now. The military is heavily overweight.
I think if you look, the biggest thing, the third biggest thing right now is paying the interest on the debt.
That's right.
You know that? And who's getting it? Most of it's going over to Japan, and then China's coming up real quick. They're going to be number one. And what if they want to foreclose on us? What's going to happen to us then?
Well,
the whole thing is so just turned upside down.
It is. Hey, Scott, I got a top stop for the news. We're coming up on news at the top of the hour. I do thank you for calling. Appreciate your call very, very much. We're coming up to the 5 o'clock hour news at the top of the hour, and you can call us again, 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04, and here locally, 479-5540, or in Collier County, 263-6570. You can give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. You are listening to The Guy James Show, 1200 AM WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back.
Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
A credibility issue dogs the president. I'm Joan Bennett. A new Time magazine poll finds a majority of Americans don't think President Bush would hype a terror warning for political gain, though Time senior correspondent Michael Weisskopf says some have their doubts.
Give you an idea of just how much of a credibility problem he does have. 38% believe that he might use these terrorist alerts for political reasons.
1,200 adults surveyed, margin of error 4 percentage points. The president, in his Saturday radio address, again defended his decision to issue terror warnings in New York and Washington.
My most solemn duty as president is to protect our country.
John Kerry, making a whistle-stop tour through Colorado, talked about the economy.
We're being told today that America's turned the corner economically. I'll tell you what. Whoever's driving that ship or car is turning the corner so consistently they're going around in circles and coming right back where they started.
Ralph Nader failed to gather enough signatures to make the ballot in California as an independent presidential candidate, but his campaign says it hasn't given up hope of getting on the California ballot. A possible break in the murder of six people in Deltona, Florida. Reporter Donna Kelly says the Volusia County Sheriff made an announcement today.
Started with the news that the Sheriff's Department does have two people in custody. He's not calling them suspects. He is calling them people of interest. He believes they may have some knowledge relating to the case.
Investigators aren't saying how the victims were killed. NATO launched its training mission for Iraqi forces today, sending a small advance team to Iraq to lay the groundwork for the NATO operation. A 17-year-old poet from Louisiana is the new Miss Teen USA. Shelley Catherine Hennig crowned last night. She'll spend the next year traveling and speaking to teenagers. This is ABC News.
Homeowners, are you tired of painting your house over and over again every few years? Well, stop this endless cycle of painting forever with vinyl siding from Sears Home Services. Call Sears now for a free in-home estimate at 1-800-225-5991. Sears vinyl siding will make your home's exterior virtually maintenance-free. It has the attractive look of freshly painted wood, and best of all, with Sears, it's satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. So if you're tired of scraping, sanding, and repainting your house, call Sears for a free vinyl siding estimate at 1-800-225-5991. Some restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Ask your representative for offer details and a written warranty. Products and services provided by a Sears authorized contractor, license number available on request. Put away that ladder and stop painting forever. Call Sears now at 1-800-225-5991. That's 1-800-225-5991.
A Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interests. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neild. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neild, visit robertneildforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neild for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Child obesity rates in the U.S. are increasing at an alarming rate. Proper diet is essential for weight control, and 5 servings of fruit and vegetables each day can make a positive impact. Fresh peaches, plums, and nectarines contain vitamins A and C and potassium and fiber. Parents can help children achieve a healthy diet.
I love it when my mom gives me fresh fruit. It's fun to try her smoothies. And I like it when she makes peanut butter sandwiches with peaches, plums, or nectarines instead of jam.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hey, we're back with you. And hello to everybody listening here locally on 1200 WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida. And also to all of our friends on the Internet. Now, to all of our friends on the Internet, as you know, this is a listener-supported show. It is. And it costs money to stream the show over the Internet. And it costs money to broadcast the show as well. So if you contribute to the show, I'm going to try something here today. If you contribute to the show, you just keep listening. But if you don't contribute to the show and you get something meaningful out of it, well, you're going to have to turn it off now, okay? You're just going to have to turn your computer off and not listen to the show anymore if you don't help support the show. That's only fair, isn't it? Okay, I know how many are listening right now, so I'm going to keep an eye, and I know how many contribute. So we'll be checking up on you. Hey, you know, I came to the realization yesterday that this little Swift Boat Veterans Against Kerry group is probably the most egregious violation of political civility, I guess you'd call it, that any of us have ever seen. All the political dirty tricks up till now have really been child's play compared to this. This group, obviously a creation of Karl Rove and his Republican political operatives. They're the worst of the worst, and they are all liars and are hell-bent upon destroying the good reputation of a genuine war hero. You know, by all accounts of those who actually served with John Kerry, he's a brave and decisive leader. But this O'Neill character and his pals are hell-bent upon turning Kerry into another Lieutenant William Calley. You remember him, of course, of the My Lai massacre. You know, have you considered the motives of the people behind this group? Have you? Have you considered that the leader of the free world and his operatives are resorting to this kind of thing? Let me ask you. If the Bush people will willfully destroy the reputation of a good and decent man with lies and disinformation like this, how can you ever have any trust of him in him again? How could you ever believe a thing that Bush says after seeing the lengths they'll go to ruin a United States senator? You know, I've thought about this. What would you think of your minister, your priest, or your spiritual leader if you found out they were responsible for spreading a bunch of malicious lies about a fellow man of God? Would you be able to look him in the eyes anymore as your leader? Would you? And what about your best friend? What if he or she just told a bunch of lies to make one of your other friends look bad? Would you ever have anything to do with them again? I couldn't. So why, then, would you think this is okay for the Bush people to do? Most of these guys in this anti-Kerry group have already proven to be liars and big-time Republican donors or operatives. They denied being big-time donors to start out, and now we find out they've millions of dollars. Why would you believe them? You know, I know you're not going to want to hear this, but the tactics these guys used are exactly what Joseph Goebbels and Hermann Göring and their Nazi pals used in 1930. And you know, you've never heard me bandy those names about on this program before. Nazis. You've heard me say it because that's exactly what their tactics remind me of. Someone in the way, just demonize those in your way, and it becomes easy to do anything you want to them. That's what happened in Nazi Germany. These guys are acting just like the Nazis. And obviously, with Bush's blessing. Oh, sure, he had one of his people make the obligatory statement that we don't condone that. But what has Bush said publicly to put a stop to it? Absolutely nothing. You know, I'm saying that if you condone this type of behavior by your president, then you are as anti-American as anyone could ever be. You can't possibly, in my opinion, profess to love this country on the one hand, and then on the other, allow our leaders to engage in the most vile kind of political activity in order to keep their power. You know, real Americans would speak up and disavow this anti-Kerry Swift vote group. Where do you stand on it? Let me ask you this. What if Audie Murphy or Sergeant York was running for president? You think they'd spare the rod on them either? I don't think so. Going to go to who we... Let's see. Phones are all lit up. Brandon in Fort Myers. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just about what you're talking about right now, actually. You know, I was looking... I read the Clinton book, but that's not quite an indicator. But I will say that the right, throughout that administration and what they're doing now, is exactly, as you said, completely malicious activity. And the left, I don't think, does anything comparable to what the right's doing, and yet the right is still up in arms about something as frivolous as a Michael Moore movie or something, and their attacks are just so much more vicious than anything the left even tries to do.
Yeah, no one can deny that both sides throw rocks. I mean, that's for sure.
Exactly, but the right rocks are much larger and are thrown much faster.
And much longer.
Yeah, and I just think perhaps the left should just step up and do more. And just play the game with them, I would say. I mean, really.
Well, you know, Brandon, I completely agree with you. I saw Al Gore be the perfect gentleman in the last election, and his campaign always took the high road. And look where it got him. So,
right. So I think Kerry should just start throwing bombs, too, because it's out of hand. It is out of hand.
And if it's this bad this early on in the campaign, what's it going to get to later? I shudder to think about it. I really do.
Yeah, and then the next election and the election after that, and the Hannity's on the radio, and it's just stupid. It's stupid, and that's all I've got to say. So thanks for taking my call, and I'll be listening to
you. Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We got Alan in Fort Myers. Alan, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Guy. I'm glad you were talking about the Swift bets against Kerry. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what they're called. But I'm a Republican, and I was in Vietnam, and I was not in combat. I was in the Air Force, and I've always given Kerry a pass for coming back and speaking out against the war, because so many of the people that have been critical were not there, did not see and does not know really what it was and how political it was, etc.
If anybody had a right to protest, he did.
Okay. Well, I mean, but I really haven't had too much of an opinion, and I really, you know, haven't done any bashing in regard.
Oh, yeah,
to that.
I wasn't disagreeing with you. I was just saying if there's anybody that had a right to protest the war, it would be a guy who was there and tasted the sting of battle.
But we saw paraded out so much, like at the Democratic Convention, and we have heard so much about what a hero he is. And he was only there for 4 or 5 months and left early.
He was only on the Swift boat for that long.
He was in Vietnam longer?
He was there for longer than that, yes. He was on ship duty before that, yes.
On ship duty?
He volunteered twice.
Okay, but he was on ship duty. He was offshore.
He's in the Navy.
He was offshore?
Yeah, he's in the Navy.
Okay. Well, let's be clear about that.
Well, let's be clear that he volunteered to go to Vietnam. And he was in Vietnam on a ship. And offshore, of course, you can't be onshore. And then he volunteered for the Swift boat duty. That, I would think that'd be enough.
Okay. But these guys that have come out, have you seen them on TV or anything?
What's the ones that are protesting against him?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, they're 23 officers, are they not?
Yeah, none of which, by the way, not a single one of which served with John Kerry. Not a single one.
But they were in the same group that he was in. They knew him.
No, not necessarily. None of them served on his boat. None of them knew him. In fact, one of them,
I understand that, because how many officers would there be on his boat?
That's right.
How many?
I don't know. He probably was the commanding officer on his boat.
Right, so there'd be one officer.
Yeah.
Okay. But these other guys were on other boats.
So the question becomes, do you believe the guys that were on his boat and saw him and knew him up close and personal? Do you believe the lifelong Republican whom he saved, pulled out of the water while shots were being fired? Do you believe them, or do you believe these guys that weren't on his boat? Who do you believe?
Well, you presented that in an interesting way, and my question is, do you believe 23 fellow officers, or do you believe these people that served on his boat, not for the whole time, that called him sir?
I believe the guys that were on his boat, of course.
How could you believe anybody
else?
And I understand that because of your political views.
No, that's got nothing to do with my political views. That's got to do with common sense. The people that were there firsthand and knew him and saw his decisiveness and everything else that he did, they're the people that you believe. You don't think that minister that got up and spoke about John Kerry at the convention, you don't think he was lying, do you?
I didn't hear a minister get up and speak.
Yeah,
he was on John Kerry's boat,
and he's a minister now, and he got up and told what a decisive leader he was and how he respected him so much and how everybody on the boat respected him so much. Was he lying?
No, those are just opinions. No, I mean, everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Yeah,
are we not?
But there are facts involved. Do you think John Kerry submitted, you think he gave himself his medals and so forth? I mean, I don't know where you're going with this. How can you possibly disparage his or anybody else's medals that volunteered to go there?
That's the dirtiest kind
of politics I can possibly imagine.
I guess I'm the wrong person to ask that about did he get himself those medals, because I don't know how.
Well, no, you cannot get yourself. You cannot get yourself a medal. You can't do it.
Well, I did hear one of these fellow retired officers or former officers say that when he applied for one medal, that he was thrown out by the admiral, and then after he was gone, and there was someone else that was involved that said no. After he was gone, then he reapplied. And it was done. So he did have some.
There's
some
nothing like that that I've seen in news. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here,
okay.
if you want proof of what I'm talking about. One of the gentlemen, retired Admiral Roy Hoffman, is the chairman and co-founder of the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. Okay?
Okay.
Chairman and co-founder, retired admiral. And I'm going to give you some quotes from him. On May the 6th of this year, Hoffman says, "I don't have any first-hand knowledge to discredit Kerry's claims to valor, although Kerry was under my command. I really didn't know John Kerry personally." That was on May the 6th.
Okay.
On August the 4th, he said, I knew him well enough to know him. He's the most vain individual I ever met, aloof and arrogant. Now, this is a man who said he didn't know him at all. And then we go to the next day, August the 5th, when Hoffman says, we were in the same operations. We were operating within 25 or 50 yards of him all the time. And for them to suggest we don't know John Kerry is pure old bull. And then on August the 5th, in response to Senator John McCain's denunciation of that ad, Hoffman said, they respected McCain's right to express his opinion, and we hope he extends to us the same respect and courtesy, particularly since we served with John Kerry. We knew him well, and Senator McCain did not. Now, which is it, Admiral? Did you know him well on August the 5th or on May the 6th? I really didn't know him personally. Which is it? Do you see how the story kind of evolved? He didn't know him personally, and then it involved and said, oh, sure, I knew him real well. It's that pack mentality that we ran into there.
But all of those stories haven't evolved like that.
You want some more?
I mean, the one gentleman I heard talking about how when he picked up the raftsman, that there were other people that were picked up at the same time when this boat blew up.
Mr. Raftman, some of the gentlemen on the other side of this said that there were no bullets being fired, that the ship wasn't under fire or anything like that. And then we come along to Mr. Raftman himself, the man who was in the water when the shots were being fired. Who do you believe? Who would you believe in that case? I mean, it only stands to reason you would believe Mr. Raftman, since he was the gentleman that... And by the way, Mr. Raftman is a lifelong Republican and a sheriff of a county in California. Do we not believe him?
Well, he was in the water. He never had near as plain a view as the other people.
I think when the bullets are flying by you, I think you got about as good a view as you can get. Hey, I got to move along. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Right now, I want to set this up a little bit. We're going to have a guest on in just a moment, just for a few minutes. And... from time to time, people send me some music that they've done. And a nice lady by the name of Julia Rose wrote this Carry Us Home song. And I'm going to play that for you right now, and then we'll talk to her right afterwards. Julia Rose, ladies and gentlemen, and we thank Julia for sending that in. I think we have her on the line right now, don't we?
Yes. Hi,
hey, Julia, welcome to the program. First time your song's been heard here in Southwest Florida.
Yes. Good afternoon, Fort Myers people.
Yeah. Now, where do you live, Julia?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore. Okay. And is your song getting a lot of play?
Yes, sir. It started off on Mr. Doug Basham's show.
Oh, out in Las Vegas. I know Doug.
Yes, and then on Mr. Sam Greenfield's show out on New York City, WWRL.
Mm-hmm.
And he's definitely, you know, on the liberal side as well. And
yeah.
He was really nice. And then it got on Sirius National Satellite Radio. And then it got on a Pacifica station out in New York City. So I'm doing this all on my own, and I'm trying to get it out there.
Very good. Well, do you know whether or not anybody from the Kerry campaign had a chance to hear it?
I'm not sure. I mean, a couple weeks ago, someone from the campaign, their web blog master, wrote me and said somehow two of my copies found its way to him.
Oh, good. Now tell me, did you write the song?
Yes, sir. I wrote it. I sing it. I play guitar on it.
Excellent. So it's kind of a one-woman band there.
Well, no, because it's got this guy named Walter Egan. He wrote the hit Magnet and Steel back before my time, and he's really, really nice.
Now, let's not start that before my time stuff.
No, I love older men. I'm dating one.
Oh.
But, yeah, Mr. Egan produced it. He plays...
I'd sure like to know what she considers an older man she's dating. I'm afraid
well,
maybe
I think the one I'm dating is at least 40.
Oh, he's really
going.
Old. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, we get this thing going. He doesn't know how young I am. I don't know how old he is.
Okay.
And he's a Republican. Ooh.
Oh, well, Julia, you're going to have to go in for counseling, I'm afraid. Your musical abilities are wonderful, but I don't know about that part right there. We've got to, we'll give you a phone number later of someone you can consult with. And
I'm just the female version of James Carville with more hair.
Oh, we love Jim Carville. We've had him on the show. And,
really?
Oh, yeah. Jim Carville, he's one of our guys. We like him.
Well, speaking of people that like guys, you know, the guys out there, I mean, I've heard nothing but good things about you from everybody. Democratic Talk Radio, those guys, they think you're great.
Well, that's a good group up there in Tennessee. We like those guys as well. I'll tell you, Crockett there, he's one of the better writers there is in the whole country. He comes
so nice.
Yeah, he does some great writings. I love the editorials that he does. He's good, real
very
good.
Very talented, yes.
Julia, we've got to move along. I want to thank you. We'll be giving your song some more play. And,
yay! I'm trying to get people excited about Kerry because the reason why I wrote it was they kept saying, oh, young people are not enthused by him. And
well, we know better.
Thank you.
I think he's got you behind him, and that's a good start. And we do thank you. I'm a little bit of a musician myself, so I appreciate what you've done there. And you'll get some more play on our program. And by the way, well, you know that we broadcast here locally, and also we've got a rather large internet audience. So a lot of people were introduced to your program that had your song and hadn't heard it before today.
Awesome. And if they want to reach me, just go to juliarose.com.
Just like it's spelled.
Yes, sir.
Julia, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. James.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
Certainly.
Bye.
Going ahead on. Does she sound like she's a lot of fun? I think so. She's just a perky, nice, kind of like me. I don't know. Going to go to Bob in Cape Coral. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hey, guy, you're doing a great job. I've never heard so many Republicans calling in.
Yeah, there are a lot of them out there today.
Must be making them scared.
That's okay.
Hey, the caller before your guest there. I did like that song, though. I got to admit that. But the caller before her, he had mentioned about the other naval officers being against Kerry.
Yeah.
Now, I got to ask you a question. Use a little bit of an analogy here. Now, if you're a quarterback of a football team, and the players on the other team says you're a lousy leader, but the players on your team say you're the best leader they ever had. Now, who are you going to believe, the players on your team or the players on another team, even though they're all part of the National Football League?
Perfect.
You know, is that a good analogy?
You've nailed that one down just as good as it could be. That's as good as an analogy you could come up with.
It's just amazing to me. That's why I'm a little scared when you say, you know, all this trash is gonna, you know, it's not going to work. It's working because we're not talking about Bush's record. We're talking about Kerry's record. Here's a man who volunteered to go to war in a war that he didn't have to go to because he was very well-to-do. He could have skipped out just like our fearless leader. But he didn't. He chose to go there. Now he has to defend his record. What is wrong with these people?
Well, you're exactly right. I've got a list here of man after man that was with him, that served, I mean with him, on his boat, that admired him so much. Not even Democrats. People that volunteered to come forward and speak up for John Kerry that served on his boat. And did you see the Reverend David Alston during the convention?
Yes, exactly.
Could anybody really sit here and tell me that man wasn't speaking the truth from his heart?
But what are we talking about, Guy? We're talking about Kerry's record. I mean, we are, we have to defend our nominee. This is exactly what they want. We're not talking about 34,000 jobs. 24,000 of them averaging $9,000 less than the job that they're replacing. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about a man's record who volunteered to go to the...
Bob, you're absolutely right. I can't deny what you said. I think you're absolutely right on the money there.
I mean, what else, too, is there anything you can do coming after this Drudge report? I mean, Kerry should be going after them for slander. I know it's politics and all that, but he's the one that came out with the affair with the intern. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, and then it got recycled by Neil Bortz and the drug guy over there in Palm Beach, the drug guy. I can never remember his name, but he's a drug guy anyway.
It's just amazing to me that they've been able to do this, and then when it's proved false, like right now, like you had mentioned earlier about the Boston Globe, the guy saying that he wished he'd never, O'Neill, or I didn't get the guy's name.
I can't think of the guy's name. I've got it here someplace. Anyway, he's taken back.
He's admitted that he was put pressure on, mm-hmm. and he had to do something real fast. So he's coming right out and admitting it. And it's like there's going to be no retraction on Rush Limbaugh or on Hannity. There's going to be no retraction of the story, just like the intern thing. But then you'll hear
Lieutenant
people.
Commander George Elliott was his name.
George Elliott, yes, that's it, exactly. But one last thing, Guy, I just wanted to bring up. This is my plan. I think Kerry needs to do this. And tell me if you agree with me or not. I think that Kerry needs to come right out and says. When I'm elected, I will pull our troops out of Iraq within the year, within 2005. By the end of 2005, our troops will be out of Iraq.
Yep.
And, because right now he sounds too much like Bush, or we're going to keep our troops there. He needs to differentiate himself.
I agree, Bob. I agree. And I don't see any reason why he couldn't do that, because you know that the nations of the world are anxious to repair the bonds that they've had with the United States, and Kerry will be able to do that, and there'll be some world help come to that thing, some meaningful help from the rest of the world.
It's not political poison either, because in 52, I see this was before my time, but in 52 Eisenhower said that was how he got elected. He had said he would get the troops out of Korea by the end of the year, and he kept his promise.
Excellent point, Bob. Got to move on.
Okay.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, guys.
Going to ask everybody on the phones. We got our lines jammed up here, 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. We got to take a break right now, and we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. You stay tuned. We've got a lot more to go.
The Guy James Show.
He stands for better public schools, equal opportunity, and a cleaner environment. He'll vote to wipe out a federal deficit that weakens America for our children and grandchildren. He'll defend Social Security and Medicare. His name, Robert Neal, Democrat, candidate for the United States Congress.
I'm Robert Neal, and I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more, visit RobertNealForCongress.com, authorized by Robert Neal for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Sam Waterston. Losing your sight would be terrifying. But sadly, more than 6 million Americans are losing their vision to blinding inherited diseases such as macular degeneration and retinitis pigmentosa. These diseases make it impossible to drive, read, or even see the faces of loved ones. Everything in life becomes a challenge, but there is hope. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge to find cures for these devastating diseases. For free information on the latest treatments and research on macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, and Usher syndrome, or to find out how you can help, please call the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 800-844-1174. That's 800-844-1174. The Foundation Fighting Blindness, driving research to save and restore sight.
We are people of all ages, from different walks of life. We have hopes and dreams, but live in a reality filled with pain. We are the family and friends of alcoholics, and our lives are controlled by someone else's drinking. We may be different, but we have one thing in common. We want our lives back. If you need help, call Al-Anon and Alateen at 1-888-4-Al-Anon or visit our website. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
A Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interest. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neal. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neal, visit robertnealforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neal for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
Back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Man, I wish we had another 3 or 4 hours to go in the show today. I've got so much. Got the board all lit up with calls. You know, one of our good friends on the Internet, on Democratic Underground, just reminded me of something that that has to be said to folks who are disparaging Senator Kerry's war record. And by the way, I'll say it again. It's disgraceful for you to do that. Disgraceful. It's the lowest of the low. It doesn't get any lower than that. I meant what I said when I said that's what the Nazis did to people. Put out the disinformation campaign on them, get everybody against them. That's what the Nazis did. Now, I don't throw that word around lightly on this program, but that is exactly what the Nazis did. But anyway, as I was saying, one of our friends on the Internet said, who are you going to believe? 23 people who didn't serve with Kerry? Or the men who were serving with him? Well, that's who we believe. We believe the people with him. We believe the guys on his team. Exactly. Let's see here. Where are we at on our... we're going to go to Dick. And thanks all of you for waiting patiently. Dick in Naples. Dick, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Guy. I want to clarify a couple of things. I want to talk about medals and how they're awarded. But before I get into that, I want to talk about our past presidents of this country whose service record was never questioned. Let's go back to modern times when President Eisenhower, and I think it was 1952, was a retired five-star general, not a four-star general, a five-star general. His military service was never questioned. He was a Republican, and he got elected to office. And then the next veteran of World War II who got elected, and his record was never questioned, was JFK from Boston, okay, the first Irish Catholic American who was a hero during World War II. His record was never questioned. Let's take George Bush one. We'll fast forward. I'm a Democrat, and I've been a Democrat all my life, and he was in one regard, because I'm a Vietnam veteran, one of my heroes in the sense that he served this country. He damn near died during World War II, serving our country, and his record was never questioned.
Dick, it never has occurred to me to question George Bush's father's record.
A Democrat would never even think about that. An independent, or we just didn't do this. This, you know, we're scratching new surfaces here on how to denigrate people in this country. And it just kills me to no end, being a Vietnam veteran myself, Having to rehash what he did during the Vietnam War. You know, when I was a little boy, Guy, I remember World War II ending. I was only 5 or 6 years old, and I remember when these men came home, I wanted to be a soldier. You see these men in uniform, and there was a song, a World War I song that was very popular after World War II, and it went something like, "When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again."
Sure.
And on the front door of every home, there'd be a sign, "Welcome Home, Johnny."
Yeah.
Everybody was patriotic. Nobody questioned the man's service. And do you know why a lot of World War II Korean veterans, Vietnam veterans, don't talk about their service? Because there were a lot of atrocities that happened during the time of war. Somebody once coined the phrase, "War is hell." And it certainly is. And men that have been in combat, 90% of them don't want to talk about their combat experience or their war experience. Leave a sleeping dog lie. People have to live with this for the rest of their life, whatever they did. Whether it was a form of atrocity, whether they did something heroic, whether they had to face a man and kill him or be killed. People don't like to talk about that. And for somebody like a Rush Limbaugh, who was a draft dodger during the Vietnam War, and he's now became a drug addict, you know, trying to tell people how to live. And you got a president of this country today who was, in his own right, a draft dodger. He was absent from AWOL for somewhere between 12 and 15 months. He was sent from the Air National Guard in Texas to Alabama. And when you report him to a new duty station, and I know being a military person, you get what they refer to as general orders. And on your general orders, there's any number of men that are being transferred at the same time you are. And when you go to a new organization, you meet people, you meet friends, and you meet other military people you're going to work with. And the Republicans can't produce one person during the Vietnam War that ever served with George W. Bush in the Air National Guard in Alabama.
Not one.
That just irritates me to no end when the right can take all these shots they want at Kerry's war record, and they don't even question the President Bush's National Guard service. It just makes me sick.
It shows the true meaning of this whole thing. It does.
Now, let me tell you about medals. You had a caller a couple of calls back that said John Kerry put in for his ribbons. He requested ribbons. He requested medals. Let me tell you something about the military. When you do something heroic in combat, you don't apply yourself for ribbons or medals. You usually have a commander. It has to be a commissioned officer who will investigate a particular battle, and he will report to his superior, and usually it's probably a field grade officer, and that means you have to be at least the rank of major, lieutenant colonel, or full colonel, and say, you know, sir, I was out on a mission for 7 days with Private Jones, and you won't believe what he did out there. Said, this guy's got to get some sort of an award. I mean, he saved all these lives. He did this and he did that. And what happens is that's investigated. And the men were with him. They're all questioned. And it's all put in writing. And then somebody at a higher level determines what medal you should receive. And any number of months or even years later, you can be a civilian and be discharged 10 years and you might finally receive that particular medal. And what holds true with Purple Hearts, let me tell you how Purple Hearts are awarded. The first thing is, whenever you're wounded, it's almost an automatic decision that's made by a commissioned officer who has to submit the necessary paperwork to award you the Purple Heart. And before the Purple Heart is awarded to you, they got to go through your medical records. They got to see what kind of a wound you received, and then they question the men that were with you, where were you when this gentleman or this private, corporal, or sergeant, or colonel got wounded? Well, you know, what was your position? What did you see? And all of this is investigated, and it takes a number of weeks, months, and years sometimes before these men and women are awarded these particular medals. Now, if you ever saw a decorated soldier, and you see these generals all the time on television with a chest full of ribbons, well, those ribbons determine what their medals are. You don't see military people wearing medals. They wear ribbons that depicts what medal they won. And you're not given a medal when you're awarded the medal. You're given what is known as a general order. And that general order shows who awarded you the medal, when it was awarded, and for what purpose. So, you know, these people that are calling up and never been in the military, and they want to take shots at Kerry, who was a volunteer. He went there on his own. You know, they ought to take a second look and a second thought before they start shooting military people down that volunteered for combat. You know, George W. Bush is not the only person in his family that was eligible for the Korean War. Let's not forget his other brothers. He's got a brother named Neil, he's got a brother named Marvin, and he's got a brother named Jeb.
For the Vietnam War.
Well, those
War.
Guys were in the Korean War, the Vietnam War.
Right. Dick, I got to move on. I thank you.
I knew you would. To clarify a few
I things. Knew you would, and you did a great job of clarifying that. Thank you very much, Dick.
Thank you, guys.
Going to go from one veteran to another. We've got Jack in Georgia. Jack, welcome to the show.
It's good to hear. It's good to talk to you.
Glad to have you with you. You can tell this man's from Georgia, can't you?
Yes, sir. Sure yeah. can. I think what he just about took all the wind out of my sails because he pretty well hit on everything I was going to say. And as a combat veteran in Vietnam, I can tell you I was against the war when I come home, and I'm still against it.
Well, who else do you want to? You know, how long? You know, Jack. You have to wonder. You have to wonder how many more lives would have lost had people not come home and protested that war. I figure everybody came home and protested that war, came home from Vietnam and protested, saved many, many lives.
Yes, sir. Well, I tell you what, my wife is on my protesting for me now. She's Amanda, that wife, and that's my wife, and she does all the computer work and networking and phone calling.
For a veterans organization.
Yes, sir. Smith.
Yes, sir.
For Veterans Organization. And she does it. She knows what she's talking about. She knows firsthand what she's talking about. She deals with veterans almost every day.
Well, and that's been all because of you. And it's the people who actually know what they're talking about that ought to be the ones talking about this, not those that think they heard this, think they heard that. I think it's a disgrace that they would dishonor Mr. Kerry in this fashion.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Jack, I got a whole board full of people here waiting to get on. Jack, it's great to hear from you.
It's been my pleasure.
And you call us anytime. It's good to hear from a veteran.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, I think we know where the real veterans stand on this, don't we? We do. We're going to go to Gene. Gene, okay. Welcome to the show, Gene.
Hey, guy. I got two or three points I want to make real quick. Of course, I believe with the...
Can you speak up a little bit?
With the callers, as far as the veterans go, I'm a veteran. But that's really not what I called about. I got two or three things I want to plug real quick for your local listeners.
Can you yell into that phone a little better?
Yeah, can you not hear me?
Not too well.
All right, I'm going to yell a little bit louder.
That's it. That'll work.
There you go. Three quick plugs. Number one, we've got a great man running for Congress. I want everybody in Southwest Florida to remember the name Robert Neild. The Republicans are going to cut each other to pieces with million-dollar budgets in this primary, and Robert is doing it for the real reason, because he wants to be an honest public servant. He's not putting $1 million into the campaign because he does it because he wants to be an honorable and ethical public servant. He needs your help. Democrats all over Southwest Florida, remember that name, Robert Neal. Get out and work for him. And if you can contribute a little bit, that'll be helpful. And you can do it by going to kneeledforcongress.com, clicking on contribute, and send him a $20 bill or a $50 bill if you can. I think this is going to make us a great congressman for the 14th District. Another candidate I want to plug real quick, Guy, if you give me just a second.
Go right ahead.
Julie Uresti in Collier County, running for county commission in District 3. Julie is another very, very honorable Democrat that has stepped forward and agreed to take the heat of campaigns and stand up for Democrats, to stand up for working people in District 3 like never before. So we want to encourage all Democrats in District 3 in Collier County. That's the folks that live out in the Golden Gate area, in the Vineyards area, in the Village Walk areas, all the way down to Davis Boulevard. There's a ton of Democrats out there. Remember Julie Uresti. And while I'm talking about Julie, she's hosting a big fish fry next Wednesday at the Golden Gate Quality Inn. So come on out and meet Julie. Eat some good fresh fried fish. It's going to be a great evening. We'll have some other candidates there, and it's a chance to get to know Julie and meet your next county commissioner from District 3. And the third thing I want to mention while I got you, Guy, is the Collier County Democrat Club meets a week from Monday at the Naples Bath and Tennis Club. We've moved our meeting places to bigger quarters because we're over 400 members now in the Collier County Democratic Club. We've moved to the Naples Bath and Tennis, and that's a week from Monday at 6 o'clock. So we want to invite all the Democrats to come out for that. It'll be a great meeting. A lot of great activities going on. We got complimentary hors d'oeuvres for everybody. It'll be another great night of Democrat politics.
All those are nice digs down at the Naples Bath and Tennis Club.
Well, we've grown into them.
Yeah.
2 years ago at this time, we had 60 members in the club. Now we got 416.
I was telling Bill Press about that earlier today. He was impressed.
Well, I was impressed with Bill Press. You know what? I've still got a grin on my face from the gal that you had on that sang the song and put together that song, which I thought was fabulous. But even more, I thought she was great.
You oh, yeah.
You sit and grin when you're listening to her talk.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure.
Wasn't she fun?
Yeah.
She'd make a good guest on your show just to get everybody in a great mood.
Yeah, we've got another song we're going to introduce next week as well, and they're going to like that one too.
Well, you got some great callers today. It's good to hear the Republicans calling in.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I got more sense than that. I wouldn't take you on, but I'm a Democrat, so I do have a little more sense. But I appreciate your show. Keep up the good work. I hope folks out there will get the message that it is listener-supported and they need to send you a little contribution now and then. I heard your comment earlier about those that listen on the Internet, and I know there's thousands of them all across the country. And folks that are listening to my phone call and other phone calls and listening to Guy on a regular basis. It isn't free, folks. You're getting the best of Democrat radio in America, and you're getting it free. So let's all pay our own way. Let's all send him a $20 bill at least once a month or once every couple of months and keep this thing going. It's making a huge difference in this election, and we're going to win because of guys like Guy James.
Gene, thanks so much for your call.
You bet.
I do appreciate it. Well, taking a look at this phone board here, we've got Mary in Fort Myers, been waiting a long time. Mary, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm in North Fort Myers.
Oh, okay, North Fort
I'm
Myers.
I'm a flight attendant. I work for a domestic carrier, and I have a couple of questions just to ask you.
Sure.
I just start listening to your program, and what is the doctor's name that examined Carrier for his purple medal? Do you know
I've got that here somewhere. I will tell you this much, if I can lay my hands on that right away here. The doctor that's in that anti-carry group, he said that he examined Mr. Carry.
Yes.
It turns out that his signature wasn't on the form. He's not the one. He was lying about it.
Okay. So that's a problem there.
That is a problem.
Okay. So we don't know that about the purple medal. Okay, another thing, like I said, I'm a flight attendant, and people have no idea what it's like to be at 38,000 feet and having a problem. I've already experienced that, and the media does not cover it. We are having a security problem, and it's not Bush's problems. We have to go through the security problem. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'd also like to know why we're having so many change of party from Democratic to Republican in Lee County.
Well, I don't think
I've talked with him. I've talked with the Supervisor of Elections.
You mean why they're all Republicans?
Why they're changing from Democrat to Republican.
Oh, because of this sham primary that we've got going on here. Florida's got this weird law. It's somewhat complicated, but what happened was somebody put themselves in as a write-in campaign, which a write-in candidate who happens to be a friend of the real candidate, and what that did was make it a closed primary and shut all the Democrats out of voting for a commissioner and sheriff.
Okay, so that's why the problem was
with
that. Okay. Now, can you also address how many votes that Kerry and Edwards have missed in Congress?
Quite a few.
Can you address that?
Well, they've missed quite a few votes. They're running for the presidency. And
okay, then why do they miss the votes in Congress while they're running for presidency?
Because it's what they have to do. How much time has Mr. Bush missed as the leader of the United States since he's been campaigning? It's just a fact of life. If you're running for president, you're going to have to miss some votes.
So
that's all there is to it.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you for your call, Mary.
Thank you.
Going to go to Russ in Fort Myers. Russ, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy. Thank you for taking my phone call, first of all.
You're welcome.
And I think it's shameful what people are doing for John Kerry's military record. The man served honorably, and that should be off limits.
I think so. A caller from Naples, Dick from Naples, brought it up a while ago. I think it was Dick brought it up. I never, ever would have considered saying anything about George Bush the first, his record. My
Absolutely
God.
Absolutely not.
No.
My problem is his 20 years in the Senate, where he really accomplished zero, and I think that should be the big issue.
Why do you say zero?
He had zero legislation go through in his name. He's voted down our military, every major military bill that has went in front of him. He's voted it down.
Well, now that's a little bit misleading.
It is
misleading. Let me tell you why. I have a big list along here someplace of all the military things that John Kerry has voted against. And, in fact, one of
the... Every major weapon system that we use today in Afghanistan and Iraq, he voted against.
No, that's not exactly true.
Oh, that is true.
No, it isn't. And let me tell you, I'm in the midst of telling you why that's not true. Many, many weapon systems he's voted against. That's exactly true. But the entire list that he's voted on in the 90s, the entire list, all of them, 100% of them, were recommended cuts, recommended by Mr. Dick Cheney, who was the Secretary of Defense right before Clinton came into office. They suggested military base closings that's been blamed on Clinton. They've blamed Kerry for voting against these military programs.
Seems like a man of his own integrity. I'm surprised he would, if somebody recommended something, that he would vote for it.
Well, if it needs cuts. How many B-2 bombers do we need? He voted against the B-2 bomber.
What about cutting the CIA after the first World Trade Center bombing? He wanted to cut it by $80 billion.
That was $80 million. You've picked the wrong guy to argue that with. That was an $80 million discretionary fund that the CIA would not account for to anybody. There was no oversight on it, and they voted to cut that out. Yeah.
That doctor did. He was the head doctor in that particular area, and the person that signed Kerry's release was his medic. The doctor did take care of him.
Well, so you're going to jump on the bandwagon and say Barry?
Absolutely not. But you made a statement a few minutes ago to that lady saying that that was not the doctor that took care of him.
I've got a quote here from him someplace that said, no, I didn't sign it.
He did not sign that paper. His medic that worked under him did. He was the doctor.
Okay. So where's his signature on it?
Well, when you go into some place, just because somebody's signature isn't on something, maybe somebody else signs for
you. So if his signature's not on it, that
he took care of Kerry. He swears by affidavit.
Does he have any proof? Does he have any proof of that? Is there a signature on there? No.
Why wouldn't you take him for his word?
Like I said, I don't know how hard-headed the Republicans are going to be about this, but like I said, I will take the word of those that it really experienced it along with Mr. Kerry.
I'm with you on that. I really
so,
I,
you know,
like
the idea that we're
awesome.
Even talking about this is so damn trivial. It's
I
so
agree.
Damn low. It's the lowest thing that's ever happened in politics. I mean low. And
no,
it just shows
you
how morally bankrupt, and I'm talking totally, totally morally bankrupt this administration is. When they have
Michael
to sink...
Moore,
the, when they have to sink...
George Bush.
Pardon me?
What about Michael Moore throwing flames and the Democratic Party embracing this man?
Do you want to point out all the errors in his movie?
Oh, absolutely.
Did you go see it? Did you go see it?
He made...
Did you go see it?
Absolutely. He made
no, you didn't
Bush.
Go see it. You gave that away with
Guy.
Your paws
when
there. You didn't go see
I'm
it.
Lying.
What about the seven... What about the, se- what about the 7 minutes Bush sat there like an idiot? What about
don't
those...
Don't you think of things? You don't carry set. In his particular place for over an hour, he said that he couldn't think.
You know, if I'm the President of the United States, if I'm the President of the United States and they come and tell me that the second plane is driving in and we know we're at war, I'm not going to sit there like a dope for 7 minutes.
You're not going to think about things.
Oh, please. That's the weakest argument. You get up, you excuse yourself, and you go do what needs to be done. You don't sit there staring like a deer into the headlights. The man is not a leader. He has never been a leader. He will never, ever, ever be a leader. My God. You know, people start off with a phone call and say, yeah, I don't think we should disparage his record. We don't want to disparage. I agree with you. I think we shouldn't say anything about Kerry's record. And then 2 minutes into the conversation, well, what about the doctor? You give yourselves away when you start that crap with me. I'm not buying it. I know what I'm talking about. I know that doctor didn't sign his slip, but you start out saying, see, I agree. We shouldn't disparage Kerry's record. But then you get into the conversation. Yeah, well, what about his... You know, you give yourselves away. And for all my Republican friends who are going to get on this sorry, sorry, sorry bandwagon of bashing Kerry for his war record, you're lower than low. I cannot tell you, I cannot possibly tell you how much contempt... And I'm talking the most serious kind of contempt. I can't tell you how much contempt I have for somebody who is low enough to disparage the war record of Mr. John Kerry. The idea that he even volunteered to go to Vietnam, let alone the Swift boat, forget that. The idea that he even went there in the first place, volunteered that he'd go over there, that's enough. Forget about all the medals he had. Forget about that. But you want to dwell on that and you want to try and tear this man down. It's not going to work with me, and I'm going to tell you something else. It's not going to work with the American public. I promise you, it is not going to work with the American public. The public isn't that stupid. Even a lot of Republicans are not that bankrupt and not that stupid. I've heard from many of them. Many of them I hear from that think it's terrible what you're doing to John Kerry. But I'll tell you this, you're not going to be successful with it. You have no chance at being successful with it because it's going to backfire right in your faces. The people are going to see about these evil bastards that are doing this. They're going to realize the truth. And the truth is, John Kerry has an honorable record and he can be proud of it. A record anybody should be proud of. Thanks for listening today. You're listening to the Guy James Show. You've heard from the radical right, and I mean radical. Now all that's left is the truth.
The Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive Producer, Gene Charles. Research Director, Michael Merritt. Production Manager, Frank Princeton. Program Coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Preaching family values in the West, I'm Joan Bennett. John Kerry and running mate John Edwards in Colorado today.
John and I are just plain tired of politicians who talk about family values when what we need to do is value families in this country.
President Bush in his Saturday radio address again promising to protect Americans.
We have pursued terrorists across the world, destroying their leadership and denying them sanctuaries. We are working with other governments to break up terrorism.